What up, y'all? This is your boy, Danny.
Danny Brown? Is that Danny Brown?
No, man. Danny Swain. And you're now tuned in to the dopest podcast on the internet, The Frocast, NappyAfro.com. You dig?
NappyAfro.com.
That's right, it's the time of the week for your favorite Frocast, your favorite episodic weekly podcast on hip-hop and all kinds of other bullshit. It's the Frocast, episode 48, with your man Saul Wright. I am Saul Wright, a.k.a. Saul Goodman, because you better call Saul. I'm sitting here with the homies, you used to the names, King Germ. Say what's up to the people, bro.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's your boy King Germ, a.k.a. we got that win last night. So, you know, Tom Brown Packers, 1-1. Holla at your boy.
Congrats. Was it any trickeration?
We stuck to the game plan. You know, my boys came, had a serious face on last night. You know, our passing game looked good. And I just want to say we got a Cam Newton on our team, man. He put the team on his back last night.
Uh-oh.
Carried us to, I mean, we was down 13 points in the fourth quarter, and we came back and won this game. And so, you know, my boys showed some heart last night. And hey, the old ball coach was happy, man. So that's all I can say, man. Shouts out to my Tom Brown Packers.
That's what's up. The only time you hear me say what's up to the Packers. Speaking of the Packers, our favorite guest from last week is back. Say what's good to the people, GQ.
What's going on, y'all? This is GQ Blue, a.k.a. the Pocket Square Kang, a.k.a. the best in the world. Shout out to CM Punk.
Wow. The best in the world, even. This motherfucker cocky on the second episode, ain't he? He like, shit, let me come in and get in where I fit in.
Hey, man. I got to go for mine, man. Got to step it up.
Good luck, nigga. Good luck. Let's talk about these sports. We already talked about the fictional Packers, the little Packers. Let's talk about the real Packers and the rest of the NFL. Another busy-ass week with the real refs. The real refs came back and regulated on them motherfuckers.
Yep.
We saw a lot of blowouts. It was a total change. Before the refs came back, every game was close. This week, it was a lot of ass whoopings handed out. How you feel about
and a lot
shit?
Of bad calls.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were still going to make bad calls. That wasn't no change. But at least, you know, they wasn't calling, like, goaltending and shit.
Hey, man, look at me. Y'all was giving the replacement refs a hard time. I mean, the guys, let's be honest, man. It's a referee. I've never had the referees been so much focused in these first 3-4 games of the season. But, you know, now I hope it's out the way and people can stop complaining about refereeing, because it's going to be 10 bad calls in every game. And so stop complaining about it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, y'all people are just going a little too far with the bad referee calls, because, I mean, it's always been bad referee calls.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but we never had a game-winning interception thrown. That's all I'm saying.
We've had a lot of blown calls.
Never had a game with an interception.
But it was from a dude from the lingerie league, bro. Like, if you a real ref, I can take that. You know, if you Ed Hockerly, okay, I can understand. But, dude, lingerie league refs, man, can't have that.
Not only that, we had motherfuckers. They was basically fighting. Receivers and cornerbacks were straight throwing blows all the way down, like 20 yards down the field. And then when they actually got into throwing blows, the refs couldn't get control. Like, I'm glad the refs are back. Straight up. I'm glad the refs are back. But, yeah, it doesn't stop bad calls. And when these niggas start making some more bad calls, we're going to be calling for their head like normal. But it was a good week for football. I was glad everything seemed a little bit normal. You know, my squad won. I'm happy. The Rams are 2-2. We're tied for second, I think, in our division. So, you know, hey, I take it. Last year we had 2 wins total. So I'm happy. This is good shit. What about your squads?
Go ahead.
Pat came back. It's funny because I was ready to be on my militant, my soapbox. Like, I ain't watching this. And 4 days later, I got my wish. So, glad to see the Packers come back. I didn't mention this on the last episode, but I do root for the Bengals. And it's good to see them win.
Wait, what? Oh, is that the hometown love right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, root for the Bengals. I mean, Packers all day. Packers first and foremost. But I do root for the Bengals. You know, as long as they ain't playing the Packers, I always root for the Bengals. They won, so it was a good week all around.
Jern?
Well, you know, my Eagles, we pulled out. I mean, we're the toughest team in the NFL. I was really pissed at first because Andy Reid did the bullshit call it icing the kicker bullshit, and he kicked it and missed the field goal. So I was just like, see, now that's when the icing backfires, and then, you know. But luckily, the Giants kicker, he missed the field goal. It was short, and it bailed Andy Reid ass out, because how do you not go for a touchdown when you have Michael Vick and the high-powered Philly offense and LeSean McCoy inside the five? Is ridiculous to me. How do you settle for a field goal? I mean, I'm like, come on, Andy, you got to do better than that. But, you know, we ended up with the W, and I'm happy about it. And my number one team, my Florida Gators, we were off this week. So we got a big game this Saturday coming up against LSU, 3:30 in the Swamp. I might be there. I'm not saying it's you know, but I might be there. It is a pay week, so who knows? you know what I'm saying? But, you know, who knows? But, yeah, that's the game I'm really gearing up for. You know, fuck NFL. I use all my emotions on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? So Sunday coming around, it's all about fantasy with me.
So how many people does the stadium, does the Gator Stadium hold?
About 93,000, 94,000.
That's a lot of motherfuckers. Are you willing to go and sit out in that crowd to watch the game?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the Georgia in between the hedges at Sanford Stadium with 90 plus, and that ain't even my team. You know what I'm saying? Just, man, you understand it's all right to be in that environment when you got 90,000 crazy people. I mean, it's so loud, and I mean, it really, when they like the arena is rocking, it really be rocking.
But the dome don't hold 90, do it? I thought it only hold like 70.
The Georgia dome.
Yeah,
I'm talking about where the Bulldogs play.
Oh, man. Okay, okay.
Georgia don't hold about 75 on Super Bowl Sunday.
Not 70. He said on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. Make no mistake, he's taking a shot at them motherfucking fans that don't show up.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying they add extra seats for the Super Bowl.
I work for them motherfuckers. I worked at the Georgia Dome as the beer man, and so I used to be out there for the games. And it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the same feeling of the crowd, because, you know, I used to get there early and I get to leave. We had to leave by the third, at the end of the third quarter. So we got to escape the crowds. But when you start talking about 75,000, 90,000, that's a lot of motherfucking traffic and people.
Yes.
Shit. I go to a baseball game all day. You topping out at 45. Yeah. 75 or 90? I don't know if I'll ever catch one just leisurely.
I mean, it's an experience. It's an experience, you know.
Yeah, what about you, GQ? You been to pro game before?
Nah, man, but I will say I have been to Ohio State game, and the shoe holds 100,000. So
shit,
yeah. That is crazy. You talk about being confined and stuff, and boy, some Buckeyes fans on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's still, they still got the turnstile kind of walk in, so you literally walking in 3x3 in that bitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck all that, man. That's crazy. But that could be just my regular avoidance of large crowds for no fucking reason. I can't deal with it. I don't do the malls on Christmas, and I ain't doing no pro football game. God damn, that's too many people. But
pretty good though here in Louisville. Cardinal Stadium's not bad. We hold about 47. It's a good little atmosphere. Go in, see a game. Shout out to my Cardinals, 5-0, number 18 in the nation.
Charlie Strong.
Hey, go strong, car strong, baby.
Hey, man, speaking of 5-0, what's up with these damn NFL teams going undefeated? Is this shit a fluke? Is it soft schedule, or are these teams that good?
Well, man, I mean, go ahead.
Texans ain't played nobody yet. Arizona, I don't know. Somebody sold their soul to the devil. Shout out to the Illuminati. I don't know.
They only played one team, man.
So, I don't know. It's crazy, but I think the rest is giving some of these weaker teams some edge, because now we, you know, like you said, the first week back we got like all these blowouts, so maybe these teams were, you know, hiding under replacement rest. I don't know. We'll see.
What you say, Jared?
Well, you know, excuse me. As far as the Texans, I'm a believer. You know what I'm saying? The Texans, because A, they have a stout running game, okay passing game. If Matt Schaub holds up, you know, they could be some contenders. The Falcons, I mean, we know they're for real because of one guy, and that's Mr. Roddy White. Roddy motherfucking White, my guy. South Carolina, stand the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's only it's only two motherfuckers from South Carolina I will motherfucking shout out. That's Roddy White and AJ Green. Other than that, fuck South Carolina as a whole. But any other than that, Roddy White, you know, the Falcons are for real. There's only two undefeated teams, right?
There's three.
Who's the other one?
The Cardinals.
Oh, man, I'm not buying them at all. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they've only played the Patriots. They played the Patriots.
They played the Eagles. What do you mean they only played? They only played the Eagles.
The Eagles played themselves. Let's not. I know this your squad and all, but let's be real about the Eagles. Them niggas whoop their own ass every week.
But so, like I said, they only played one good team, and that was the Eagles. The Patriots are not an elite team. They're not. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nah. They've only gone 1-2 one time in the past 10 years, but they're not elite. All right.
They're not elite. Okay. Come on, man.
They're not elite, but the Eagles are? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
I'm saying that, yes.
Where the fuck did the Eagles finish last season?
Where did the Patriots finish last season? Oh, they didn't make the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Who didn't make the playoffs?
The Patriots didn't make the playoffs last year.
They were in the Super Bowl, bro.
Patriots went to the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah. Oh, they lost the Giants.
Where have I been?
I'm sitting here like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Where was that last year?
You was probably following them Eagles, so you thought the season was over when them niggas was done.
Wow. Mistake on King Jerm's part. And I sat there and watched the game 21-17. Good Lord.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. Them niggas is elite. They elite.
They're not elite.
They've been in the playoffs for the past 10 fucking years.
I don't know about this already.
What is there to know? They won in 2001 and they've been there since then. Like, I don't. What is there to debate about?
I mean, I'm just saying, athletically, they're on par with every team in the league. They're, a matter of fact, they might be even below. Tom Brady is the X factor on that team.
It doesn't matter. They make it work. Every year they get to the playoffs. Yeah. Every year.
But I don't think they're elite anymore. I think there's better teams than the Patriots. And that's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying.
And you think the Eagles are one of those teams?
I think the Ravens. I'm talking about on their side of the ball. Because they never had to play us unless it's a Super Bowl situation, which they beat us in a couple years ago.
I'm going to try to help make Jerm's argument for the fact that the Patriots are kind of like the Colts in the fact that if you take Tom Brady off of the Patriots, they go 2-14.
Exactly.
So, the team is not elite, but they have an elite player and they have a system that makes that work.
What are we basing this on? Have we seen them play without Tom Brady?
Yes.
When?
The year when
When Schaub went and got another contract?
At Castle.
Yeah, when Castle got a contract.
Yeah, they went 11-5 that year.
Oh, that's still pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but okay, and they also had the worst defense in the league last year. So you can't be an elite team with the last rated defense. If the Cleveland Browns defense is better than your defense, you're not elite.
It doesn't matter. If you put up 70 points and you give up 50, you're still elite. It doesn't matter.
I know you're not. No, you're not. Because you're not going to score 70. You're winning. You're going to give up 50 every week. That's a guarantee.
It doesn't matter. If you give up 50 but you score 80, it doesn't matter.
Some days you're not going to score 80. That's all I'm saying. But you're going to give up that 50 because your defense can't stop shit. I mean, but hey, it's all right. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying there are better teams in the AFC than the Patriots. Ravens. AFC South. Who was that? Nobody. Damn.
Okay, but there's a reason why everybody in the football world was astonished at the Cardinals beating the Patriots.
Because they're the Cardinals. They had nothing to do.
Oh, my God. Are you really? And I'm not even a Patriot fan. I can't believe you playing them like this.
I mean, didn't the Cardinals won this? Yeah. They beat the Dolphins. They, you know.
Right. No one talked about that. They beat the Eagles. No one talked about that. They beat the Seahawks. No one talked about that.
Oh, they did talk about it. They was talking about benching Michael Vick after that game, man. Come on, man.
They talk about benching Michael Vick after game 5 of every fucking season. They always crying about him being injured or making dumb plays. They're like, maybe Michael Vick just doesn't have it. Every year, we have the same conversation about Vick. He's not a pocket passer. He needs to be more of a pocket passer. He doesn't make the right decisions. He's not durable. This is the same script every year since he came there. Every year.
Oh, I get it. You don't like Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. He's a quarterback for my fantasy team.
I see what that is. You don't like Michael Vick. I get it.
Nigga, Michael Vick.
It's all right. Does not like Michael Vick.
Germ is going for the Peabody School of Argument right now.
I know you don't like him, man. I don't know if you just admit like it, it'll be okay.
I do like Michael Vick. I'm just saying, this is the same script. Like you saying that, they tried to bench him. It wasn't because of that loss. It's because that's what they do every season. When they had Cobb, they was like, yeah, maybe we should go with Cobb. Remember that shit?
Yes, of course.
It's about them dogs. That's all that is.
What's that?
It's about them dogs, man.
That's what it is. They just mad about them dogs. So every season they come up with some shit. Hey, maybe. But I don't know how we can say the Patriots ain't elite. That's crazy to me.
I don't think they're elite anymore. I'm just saying. They're not. that team that they used to be. They're not, you know, I'm just, you know, that's just me being me. I'm just being honest. I don't see it. That you know, Belichick, I don't think he lost that hunger. You know, they're an old team. It's like that window's closing. It's like, you know, they're not that elite anymore.
Hey. You know. Until them niggas miss the playoffs, I ain't hearing shit you talking about right now.
Hey,
there's still a team to beat over there, and that's just how it is, you know, shit. But we'll see who's going to be undefeated after this week. I don't think the Falcons are going to keep this up.
This might be the Falcons' year, man. I'm just saying.
It hasn't been that year since, what, 98? Was it 98 when they went to the Bowl?
Yeah, they went to Super Bowl in 98.
And they look well, and they were real one dimensional that year.
Hey, they ain't had nothing but Jamal Anderson.
Yeah,
man.
Ran the ball down your fucking throat. He would get like 35 carries a game or something stupid.
Who's the quarterback? Chris Chandler that year? I mean,
somebody crazy. It was probably be easy. I mean, they, but they handled it. You know what I'm saying? I was down that shit. They were paying my salary, so I was the biggest Falcons fan out there, nigga. Dude, that first playoff game, I sold 2 cases of beer and made $200.
Damn.
I was balling out, and I watched most of that game. I didn't do shit. I sold beer. Those 2 cases of beer I sold to one section, and I watched the rest of the game.
So people, so right, telling you his age. Just imagine, you have to be at least 21 to sell beer. You said in 98, he was at least 21 in 98, so that lets you know, so right, it's an old motherfucker.
Actually, you only have to be 18 to sell beer.
Oh, okay.
So. Germ is fumbling all over this episode.
Oh, sorry.
But this episode is
about, I forgot you're from Missouri. They just give y'all beer and bottles and shit there. Anheuser-Busch is just Anheuser-Busch Hospital and Anheuser-Busch everything. Y'all just beer everything. Beer everything. Beer, beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer.
Germ ain't shit. Let's get back on.
Is that the Mississippi River? No.
Stupid, man. We got some more shit to talk about. Football. Do we want to talk about our fantasy teams this week? I'm kind of depressed. I don't really want to talk about it, but
I mean, this is like my worst week in fantasy. I went like 3-3. Another week I went even. Talked too much shit last week. Ended up getting tossed up this week, pause, by somebody in Saul League. I mean, it was just disgusting. But I did tell everybody I was taking the week off, so you know, it is what it is, you know. Letting them catch up.
And I took my first L to the worst possible person to nappy at from
the league. Oh, man. The worst. I don't even want to mention his name.
I'm not mentioning it either.
Yeah.
I'm not mentioning it either. But put it this way. This is how bad my week was. Out of, we have, I think you end up with 17 people or 19 people on your entire roster. I had 4 players score double digits. None of them scored over 15 points. That's what my week. That's how my week was in that league. And I started 3 of those players.
Oh, let me tell you how bad mine was. Maurice Jones-Drew and my kicker had the same amount of points. Oh, shit. And they were tied for the second highest point total on my team.
Oh,
so I was like, wow, my kicker and Jones-Drew, even?
Sometimes you had those weeks where you can't do shit. Go ahead.
Please. Yeah.
I'm going to beat that because one of my teams has Jake Locker. Yeah, that's how I have Jake Locker and Josh Freeman.
Woo! On the same team?
Yes.
When did you draft quarterbacks? In the 7th round?
No, he went to the free agent thing after the game, after it was all over.
No, man. That's one of those times, man. I got caught up. I was out of town. I didn't have internet access. I couldn't get on the computer, so I had to auto pick. My first pick was Larry Fitzgerald, and I don't remember how the rest of the draft broke down. I had Josh Freeman. And I had to go and add Jake Locker. That's how sad it was. I had to go add Jake Locker. And I was still supposed to win that game by 50 points. Ended up losing by 80. I hate projections. Projections are the worst.
Yeah, you must have had some.
Well, nobody knew Jake Locker was going to go out in the first quarter. I mean, before he was going to score any points. I mean, you know, nobody knew that. Yeah,
that
kind of
shit is crazy. But, nigga, did you see that hit? I thought his arm was gone, nigga.
I thought he was dead.
Yeah. I thought they were shit off. I said, "Oh shit, his arm was on the ground, dog."
And he was sitting there with the hand that was balled up. He was like, "And I was just like, is he okay?" I was just like, "What's going on?"
Oh, I immediately had flashbacks of McGahee when his knee got popped back and he kicked himself in the thigh. I was like, "Oh my god, that shit looked terrible." And they kept, and you know, they keep showing the shit.
You know. Nah, man. Did you see the one from a couple weeks back, the Miami player that broke his ankle?
Nah, I missed that one. I missed it.
God, his foot was, man, you saw his foot, man. It was turned like, oh, God, it was disgusting, man.
It was turned backwards and shit.
Yeah, disgusting. It was just turned like it ain't supposed to turn that way, and it was just like and they just had people out there. He was in pain too, cause he was screaming. He was just like And the coach came out there, and the coach, the coach just hugged him because he was in that much pain. But hey, it was bad, man. It was terrible.
Shit, man. Them injuries. I'm surprised I played football because I started playing football after I saw somebody get injured. And if you never heard a fucking collarbone break, that's some shit.
Dude get both of his broke at the same time. Yeah, he broke both of them at the same time.
Fuck did he hit? The wall?
He was getting tackled, and they was on his back, and they drove him into the ground. Like, he had something on his back, and they drove him into the ground, and then he busted both his collarbones at the same time. But I said, God.
Damn, that should be loud, too, man. He went off pads on. You hear them? I can't even duplicate that sound, but that shit is loud as fuck. And then the screaming starts. Like, what the fuck happened?
A ruptured Achilles, man? Oh, that's terrible. Just seeing it, because, like, we was playing basketball, and the damn referee. He was at the free throw line. The referee bounced the ball to the guy, and he took like two steps back, and all of a sudden he fell on gray. He was like, ah! He was screaming. Ah! We was like, yo, what's going on here? And then all you saw was like, it was like a ball like at the bottom of his calf with Achilles that when it ruptured, and it just pulled up. Yeah, whoa, boy. I said, man.
What's your worst sports injury?
Mine, personally, or seen?
Not yours, personally.
Oh man, tore my knee up, man. I tore a little some ligaments in my knee, sliding in the home base, and guy like me don't know how to slide, so hey, I go in the slide home base. You know, I go in the slide feet first, cleat get caught in the dirt, turn my knee up, and hey, man, and I was done.
Did you
I was done.
Run though?
No.
God damn, man, shit.
My cleat got caught in the dirt.
Yeah, but so you got to flip or something.
Yeah, man, I was in pain. Man, I was 12 years old. Man, Wait, shoot, my knee. Who cares? But, you know, then the sad part was I couldn't get surgery on it because my growth plates were still open. And so the doctor was like, I mean, it can heal on its own or, you know, we can operate, but you might run a risk of your leg might be shorter. He said it might not be noticeably shorter, but I'm 12 years old. I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to be walking around no thick-ass shoe on. Fuck you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was trying to put you on that in living color shit, Mr. McAfee.
Yeah.
What about you, Blue? What's your worst sports injury?
I didn't get to play sports too much. I made the high school football team. But I cut for grades. But in practice, I got tackled, man, and woke up like 5 minutes later, like, God damn. My blind side, like, woo.
You got laid out.
Crack back. Out.
Like the dude, like, we were doing tryouts, man, the dude, man, supposed to be on my right side guard, but like, he was a little scrawny cat. Like, I don't know why he was trying to be a tackle, man, but He ain't had my back at all, man. I feel like that was some animosity. Like, that was on purpose. Like, they set me up.
Yeah, it must have been the freshman.
The black, he could be quarterback. They said, no, he won't be quarterback. Okay, take him out. Yeah. I was set up, man.
That must have, was this the freshman squad?
Yeah.
Yeah, the coaches don't know what to do with freshmen. You know, they just put you anywhere. They're like, whatever. I don't, you know. You're kind of tall. I'll put you a tight end. Like, this motherfucker, no. He should not be the tight end. He's light in the ass. He's 6'1", but he's 120 pounds. Stop it. Yeah. You putting this nigga tight end. This shit's all out of position. Your goddamn left tackle is 400 pounds. Like, just stop it. Just, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, dude's got a side eye for the next month. So
you had a grudge?
Yeah, man.
God damn.
Motherfucker had a concussion, goddamn.
He got laid out.
Fuck a grudge.
I know, I was playing baseball. This was right, I think this was 8th grade, it was right before fucking high school. And I was going out, I was playing in the outfield this game, and I went out to catch the fly, and I was running, all of a sudden I just felt something pop, and then next thing I knew, I couldn't move that fucking leg. I was just like dragging it to go get the ball. I eventually slowed the fuck down, the adrenaline, you know, calmed down, and my ass just collapsed. I had pulled my separated the muscle from my hip.
Damn.
I don't even know how the fuck I did that. But yeah, I was just moving, and that motherfucker said it sounded like somebody popped something underwater. It was just like thook. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And I can't move. Up, time to fall. Up, time to fall. That's it.
He said,
"Yeah, it was time to fall. I couldn't put no weight on it. And I was like, oh, that shit's a wrap."
Well, this, I don't know if this is considered sports related injury, but I considered it a sports related injury. I was probably about 15 years old, 15, 16. You know, we went shot ball for about 7 hours. You know what I'm saying? So I come home that night, take a shower, you know, go to sleep. By 2 in the morning, I wake up with the most excruciating pain in my balls ever. I was like, oh, shit. I wake up, you know what I'm saying? So, I knew it wasn't an STD and that, because I was like, shit, nigga had a pussy in like a year. You know what I'm saying? So, I knew it wasn't nothing like that. So, I was like, shit. So, I'm in the bathroom. I'm sitting there just clutching my nuts. I'm just sitting there like, oh, this pain. Like, I'm sitting there just like, oh, what's going on? So, I just pull my pants down and I sit on the tub because it was cool, you know what I'm saying? So, I just needed some ice on my nuts. So I was just like, oh. So, after about an hour of just, you know, being in pain, I was like, fuck that. I go wake grandma up. I said, grandma, you got to take me to the hospital. She's like, why? What's wrong? I said, I just need to go to the hospital. She's like, what's wrong? I said, grandma, I need to go to the hospital. Just tell me what's wrong. I said, my damn nuts. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, you know what I'm saying? And then she was just like, she looked at me like, you know, so we get to the hospital, goddamn motherfucker, doctor sitting there, this damn Indian guy coming there, and he just coming there. He's a urologist, so fake-ass urologist. I don't know who the fuck he is. He gets in there. He starts twisting my nuts and paws. Hey, paws are everything. I ain't got no paws
right,
in this.
Right, got no paws.
So just put a blanket pause on this whole conversation, people. All right? So anyway, Indian guy's in there. He's squeezing my balls trying to, you know, he said, you know, anyway, come down to it. I had a twisted testicle.
Oh.
They had to do motherfucking surgery right then, right there, on the motherfucking spot, nigga. So I was just like, ain't this a bitch? So, you know what I'm saying? So, motherfucker, you know, untwist my nut or whatever, do all that crazy shit, you know. So, hey, lesson learned, man. Don't play basketball in boxer shorts, man.
God damn.
Yeah.
Man, you got Tommy Dreamer, man. That's fucked up.
Yeah exactly.
Shit. Yeah, that takes the cake, nigga. God damn.
Yeah. So, you know, then I was out of school for about 2 weeks. And, you know, just imagine, man. Then, like, after surgery, man, one of my nuts was the size of a fucking coconut, nigga. Oh. You know what I'm saying? So I had to wear these looking gay ass fucking drawers. Fuck. Cause my ass was out. It was like a jock strap. But it was like in the front. It was like a big ass diaper. But my ass was out. Strap. Oh my god, it was like some, what do you call them, little spats or whatever. Some print shit. It was like some print shit, right? So
some chaps.
So I'm sitting in the bed for like, I'm bedridden for like a week and a half. I can't even move. Like, I'm like, shit, this sucks. And so I said, fuck this, man. I'm trying to go to school one day. So I said, man, I try to go to school one day. Man, I ain't make it through second period, boy. Sitting on the hard edge. I said, hey, I got to go back home.
Oh, shit.
Fucked up, man. It was real fucked up.
God damn. A twisted, how the fuck? Just from regular ass basketball play.
Hey, torsion of the testicle is what it's called. Man. I don't know how the fuck it happened, but hey, that night after playing, hey, I found out and I said, man, maybe it's because I had boxers on. I don't know what the fuck it was, but hey, I said, hey, I was shook for a minute because that was fucked up. I ain't shooting no basketball. I ain't shooting no.
Yeah, fuck that, man. I'm going to buy me some draws after we done recording this show, just in case. That's some crazy shit, nigga. God damn. Yeah, you're a soldier. Fuck that. You take the cake. Germ has the worst sports injury of the fro. That's some crazy shit. Speaking of basketball, though, your boy is in the news. Kobe Bryant talking about the Lakers and Dwight Howard, who finally got traded to the Lakers. And basically they were asking Kobe, did he think it was his team or was it Dwight's team? Whose team was it? And Kobe shut that shit down like the Black Mamba does. He says, I don't want to get into that whole story about whose team is it. It's my team. This is my team. But I want to leave it so that when I'm gone, they can carry on and it'll be Dwight's team. That's what I want to do. How you feel about that shit, Jerm? I mean, is this a big story or is it just Kobe being Kobe?
This is a non-story. I mean, what the fuck kind of question is that? You don't fucking ask the Black Mamba that motherfucking question. I don't give a fuck who they bought to that motherfucking team. I don't give a, you don't ask him that question. And Kobe responded how he was supposed to. I mean, the fuck? It's my motherfucking, Kobe, I don't give a fuck. He was the eighth man on the bench, nigga. That's still his motherfucking team, nigga. You don't ask the black mama that question, man. That reporter needs to be smacked.
I agree. And I don't even like Kobe like that, but I agree. It was the most ridiculous question. Dwight Howard wasn't even the man on the Magic's team.
I mean, basically.
So why the fuck would he come to L.A. and be the man on the team with probably the greatest player that most of us seen that's not named Michael Jordan?
Yeah, exactly. So,
who's the man on the Magic team?
No one. That's why the Magic don't matter. There was no man on the Magic team. That's why they don't fucking matter.
Touche, sir.
I mean, you know, if he was the man, they wouldn't have moved him like that. So, yeah. You know, it was just a dumbass question. They be trying to bait Kobe sometimes, I think, because they know that no one likes him like that. You're either a fan or you hate him. That's usually how it goes. And since they know that, they give him those bullshit-ass questions. There's no way he was going to say something different.
Yeah, like they said, who you think win between the 2012 Dream Team and the 92 Dream Team?
Are we back on this?
Hey, man, I stand by my statement. You know, I stand by my statement. I don't give a fuck what y'all motherfuckers say. I'm just going to keep it 100, like the young kids say. I'm going to keep it, well, it's 300 now. With y'all.
They going 300 now?
No, I'm just saying. Chief Keef. Yeah, Chief Keef saying the 300. You got to be 300 because the value of 100, is, you know, niggas just, the value of 100 real low right now. So you got to be more than that.
Inflation.
I'm not taking anything Chief Keef says as the fucking standard for anything. But, man. Yeah.
See your voice of the youth, man.
He the what?
It's the voice of the youth.
Yeah, well, them niggas ain't saying much there. What else we got basketball news? The Nets jerseys. Did y'all see the Jigga Nets jerseys? Bomani kind of put a nail in the coffin on this shit. But Jigga was coming.
What did he say?
Well, Jigga came out doing a concert, and he had on the Brooklyn Nets jersey on the back of Carter. Mm-hmm. And the store, the Nets shop, decided to sell the jerseys to say Carter on the back. And them niggas was selling. It was like $225 a jersey.
Damn.
And they were selling out. They sold out. And he was like, "So who the fuck is Carter?" He's like, "There's no Carter on the team. This nigga don't play, and you buying the jersey."
It's Jay-Z. His favorite number is 4. That's him and Beyonce. That's their favorite number is 4. So I'm assuming that's what the 4 and the Carter comes from. But like I said, Jay-Z is the most popular mascot in the league. I mean, yeah,
for 1%, I mean, that nigga is milking that 1%.
He addressed that in the little video, and he said, "People talking about my percentage I own. I don't know where y'all got that number from, but you know, it's whatever." Jay-Z, look, man, stop fucking lying. Like, you know, so you don't own that fucking much. You are the mascot. I mean, you make more money than me, so before any of y'all motherfuckers could go with the "well, he got more money than you" diss.
We know.
I understand that. Right. Yeah, it's fucking known. Yes, Jay-Z got more money than me. So I mean, yes, but that don't mean I can't, you know, talk bad about the motherfucker. So, I mean, it is what it is. You are the mascot of the Nets.
And there's nothing wrong with that. For your 1% or whatever your magical percent is, you've done the most for any team coming in as a part owner. You know, came in, you know, moved the motherfuckers, you changed the uniform, you got the whole state excited. Not just Brooklyn. You got the whole fucking state excited because now you got a rivalry in state that really matters. No one cared about the Nets before now. So now it matters and, you know.
We care now?
Huh? Yeah.
No,
yeah. Nobody. Yeah, but once the season started, all this little pre-hype. Okay, you got a new building, so I understand your hype. But like I said, 2 weeks in the season, 3 weeks, you know, by January, all this Nets talk is gonna be done.
Hey,
because they're gonna be in. I'm just saying. I mean, they don't care. You know how New Yorkers. New Yorkers, they have this little thing about themselves where they feel like they have to be important. But New Yorkers, newsflash: nobody gives a fuck about your shitty ass fucking state. You can't even get a big gulp in New York anymore. So fuck you. I can't go to Circle K, get me a 44-ounce drink for 75 cents. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all punk ass mayor, governor, whatever you call it, I don't know, Bloomberg, whatever, man. I don't want to live in your little shithole state. There's too many people. It's just like, who cares? The food sucks. The people are rude. I don't want to fuck. Who cares about New York? Y'all haven't been relevant since the fucking Yankees won a title and the last time they won. I can't remember. And I pull for the Yankees sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But New York, you're not relevant. In hip-hop, nowhere. On basketball field, fucking Giants, they had to fucking win the Super Bowl. But besides that, that's it. That's all y'all got going for y'allself. Nobody cares about New York no more. Nobody. So get off of it, New York. Y'all not the end all, be all, whatever they say. I don't care. Fuck that shit, man. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
R.I.P. Pimp C, country rap tunes, I mean, nigga.
Episode 48, King Germ Kills New York. Shit.
It's like.
We supposed to be saving the Carter. We supposed to be saving the Carter this episode.
Sometimes you have to destroy to rebuild.
God damn.
And maybe since we destroyed the Carter and old, and now we rebuilding the Carter, it's gonna come back bigger and better. Like, you know how you gotta tear a project down and rebuild it. You gotta move all them old tenants out and get all the new, you know, rebuild it. You know, paint some new, put some new signs, paint a new color, put some new residents in there. That's what we're gonna do for the Carter, man. Make it a new neighborhood. We're gonna gentrify the Carter, man.
God damn.
Yeah.
Well. In case you listeners didn't know, that was not on the fucking outline. I don't know what happened.
Sorry, I had it in the line. He had it in the notes.
I did not have that shit in the notes. God damn. Wow. There's almost nothing else to say about sports, except baseball playoffs are starting and the Cardinals are in. Thank you. The Cardinals are in. Somebody just yawned? Ain't that a bitch?
I said, so are the Braves. But go ahead.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We'll see y'all in the second round.
If y'all be there.
We'll be there. I mean, we're the champions. Splash.
Apu doesn't play for you anymore.
Doesn't matter. We made it without him.
To the playoffs.
Right. We made it to the playoffs without him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's not there. Exactly.
That's how I feel, Blue. That's how I feel. When he gets on this Cardinal talk, I just want to go to sleep.
That's not even no shade to the Cardinals. I'm just not a baseball fan. Like, y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
This will be the shortest topic section in Nappy Afro history.
Yeah, I mean, the topic's pretty much done.
Will be when the Cardinals lose and I go on a rant like I know, like I've been following all the games. Watch. It's going to happen.
I'm not going to allow you to go on a rant where you've only watched 10 games all season. It's just not, it's not going to work.
Hey, try three.
This nigga has no pride in his team to the end. Season. There's no way. He's like, we made it to the playoffs. Nigga, we whooped y'all ass and took your spot last year. So
sorry, we won. He's like, but we won 18 out of the 33 times we played this year. I'm like,
this nigga. So yeah, that's pretty much it for sports. We got a couple TV shout outs. This is, you know, we talk about the shows all the time, so we got to give up this little rumor mill episode for Germ's favorite show, Love and Hip Hop ATL. Next season, they're supposedly adding Soulja Boy and Diamond. Scrappy's ex, Boo. Diamond. Soulja Boy, I give a fuck about. I'm not concerned. I don't even know how he fits into the whole storyline or some shit. They're gonna
Hip Hop ATL, you know. Yeah, because he's dating Diamond now. Because Diamond, okay. I'm going to give you a little backstory, quick backstory. All right, Scrappy and his baby mama is together now, his Erica.
Right.
Scrappy left Erica for Diamond.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, so then Diamond, you know, Scrappy, his stock fell. She getting her car repoed and shit. Her stock fell, so she left Scrappy for Soulja Boy, who was bubbling at the time. So and then Scrappy had to go back to Erica. So that's why she was like, "Oh, see, now you know how I feel when somebody leave you, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they going for a better, they jump into a better ride." And that's back, you know, so that's what happened. So it could get interesting.
So Soulja Boy and Diamond are on the show together as a couple.
As a couple, yes. Yes.
There should be some more drama.
Yeah. They had to add more drama to the mix cuz they dropping Carly Red and what's her name? Rashida from the show.
Really?
They in the retirement home together now or something?
They just said their story is not, you know, they're not interested in them.
Are they both like 55? I mean, they grandmas. Come on now.
Exactly. I like, Rashida, you really have, you know, some grandma duties to be doing. Get the fuck off TV.
I'd kind of be shocked if Rashida don't end up on another show of her own spinoff. I think she went over well with that show.
I don't think her personality, though. She didn't have, like, they was constantly searching. Like, they was basically making up beef for her and making up a storyline for her because her story just, she regular. And I can't be mad at her for being regular. Like, some people think their lives are made for TV, but till you actually watch your life, you're like, oh, shit, my life boring as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, your life, you know, like, everybody's life ain't made for TV.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Where's K. Michelle's show at? She was the most interesting person on the show.
Knowing Kay Michelle hood ass, she probably waiting for more money.
Yeah, they say she thinks she's letting the superstardom go to her head now. It's like she's gotten diva. Like, she's a diva now. Like, what you a diva for? We don't know you about your music. We know you from a TV show. So don't be a, like, she wouldn't go on before Life Jennings at a show in down here in Tampa, you know, like last week or some shit. Like, she refused to go on before him because she felt like she was a bigger draw and he wasn't big enough for her to, you know, be, you know, like, man, like, come on, everybody know Life Jennings song, but don't nobody know a Kay Michelle song, like,
at all.
I mean, I don't.
At all.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't, you know, everybody know a Life Jennings song. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't like the motherfucker, you like, oh, I know his song.
I didn't know that nigga got out of jail.
I ain't know it either. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Shit. Shout out to Life Jennings.
Yeah.
But
you're free.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm surprised that she don't have her own show started. She got to be holding out for more money. That's the only way. Because if they give him up fucking Mama Jones and everybody else a goddamn show, and I'm sure Scrappy and his mama going to get their own show at some point, she got to be getting the show. If nothing else, just to see that ass on TV. Some other black TV news. Actually, some positive black TV news. You know, I talk about Scandal, and Jern watches. You watch Grey's Anatomy, right? Do you watch The Practice too?
No, only Grey's Anatomy.
Only Grey's Anatomy. Well, the creator of those shows, Shonda Rhimes, picked up on Issa Rae's show on YouTube. The one that does Aqua Black Girl, she had another show, I Hate L.A. Dudes, and that got picked up by Shonda Rhimes, and they're going to produce something for ABC. So, shout out to black folks being positive, doing big things on TV, since everybody's complaining about Tyler Perry and the rest of the shit that come on TV. So, you got another avenue. Say what?
Hey, yo, so, did you watch Scandal last week? Because you never filled me in on what this whole ornamental thing was that was all over my Twitter. You supposed to put me on game about that. What happened with that, man?
I had to go back and remember because I don't remember that. I know the episode was popping. I had to go back and look because I don't remember offhand what the ornamental thing was about.
Like, I go on Twitter and niggas like, oh, this chick is ornamental as hell. I'm like, what? I got to put that in my repertoire.
Yeah, they probably, you got to watch Twitter. Somebody might have been saying that shit wrong. that might not have been the word. That might not have been the right word to use because I don't know what they talking about. But last week's episode was busy as shit, man. Like, that motherfucker. Jeremy, you got to start watching Scandal, bro.
What time? What day does it come on?
Thursday nights at 9 Central.
On ABC?
Is ABC? I think it's ABC.
So, Thursday nights. Isn't that Grey? So, it comes on before Grey or after Grey?
It must come on after Grey's. Cause...
Oh, 9 o'clock Central. Okay, yeah. That's what threw me off. That's why I was like, hold on. Grey's Anatomy come on at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't keep up. I don't watch Grey's. I haven't watched Grey's, and I'm afraid to jump in the middle because aren't they about to end?
Oh, yeah, you'll be totally lost. It's like season fucking 20, nigga.
Yeah, I don't even want to jump in, but I see Twitter be popping with it, and I'm like, damn, it's just, you know, I had to catch up on that on Netflix. When they got the whole thing on Netflix, I'll start watching it because she's dope. But Scandal's pretty straight, man. If you like those plot twist kind of shows, this is definitely one of those. It's like every week they show you a little bit more. And a show that I didn't watch last night that I wanted to talk about in this episode, hopefully one of y'all watched it, was ESPN's 30 for 30 Broke. Did y'all watch that shit?
No, I was coaching the game last night, sorry.
That's right.
GQ. I DVR'd it. I haven't been able to watch it yet.
It's on the website. It's on Nappy Afro.
Yeah, I got it on DVR too. I want to know what y'all thoughts were in general about the whole athletes going broke thing.
I was surprised at the list of people that filed for bankruptcy. Like, that was crazy. Like, I was like, wow. Like, some of the names were like, I mean, it wasn't some of the names I was surprised with, and some of the names I wasn't surprised with. Like, some of the surprises were, let me see.
Bernie Kosar
was one.
I'm sure that shit had everybody shook, like, what? Bernie Kosar?
I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, who else was on that list? It was, damn, it's like some guys like, damn, Mark Brunel. I was like, what the fuck? Mark Brunel, they talking about how smart you were. I thought you'd be good with money, but it don't take much, man. Deuce McAllister. I was just like, wow. There's some people on there. Raleigh Fingers. Oh, you know what? Funny story, man. The first baseball card show I ever went to, Raleigh Fingers was there signing autographs, and I was probably about 9, 10. So I can't say I didn't see that one coming. If you said he was the first day guy, you know what I'm saying? Usually it gets better. Like, day 3, they might have, like, Mike Socha is here. You know what I'm saying? It might be some bullshit. Right. Like, first day was Raleigh Fingers. The next day was, like, Johnny Dawkins. Because I remember I got Johnny Dawkins and Raleigh Fingers to sign my Becky with Ricky Henderson on the front. They were just like, you really want me to sign? I'm like, bitch, like, I got a fucking Raleigh Fingers card. Like, who the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like,
who the fuck is Johnny Dawkins?
Yeah, he played for, he was a Duke point guard for Duke. He might have been one of the best guards Duke ever had. And, you know, his son played for him now, but, you know. You have to be a Dookie to understand who Johnny Dawkins.
Warren Sapp was on the list. I still don't understand that shit. Lenny Dykstra was on the list. Jack Clark was on the list.
Lenny Dykstra in jail right now.
For what?
Oh, Lenny Dykstra was like a financial consultant type. People was letting him have
a pyramid scheme. He had a pyramid scheme, right?
Yeah, and people was letting him handle the money. And I mean, Lenny Dykstra was fucking people up, man. I was like, first of all, I was like, his name was. I'm not letting nobody nicknamed Nails handle my money. Like, you're not somebody want to handle my money.
Like, it's crazy.
I hope be somebody who I call when somebody paying me my money, but you're not going to be the one in my financial.
This shit's crazy.
You give me investment. You give me investment. No, Lenny Dykstra, you play first base. Yeah. Like, bitch, you ain't no pitcher. You ain't Greg Maddux.
Nah,
fuck out of here, man.
Lenny Dykstra, he looked like he don't do nothing by the book. Yeah. That motherfucker just look. That's why I said he chewed tobacco, motherfucker. He looked like he ain't up to no good. But then they had some people on the list that you knew was going to be on this list at some point. Rick Mahorn looked like he was going to just. Rick Mahorn never looked like he was going to be nothing good. Andre Rison, Mike Tyson.
Mike Vick.
I think Mike Vick, that's a shot.
They had to throw that on there. Cause I was like, but Vick just signed a $100 million contract. Well, but he filed for, before. Okay, I understand. You want to use him for name value, but, you know, let's not put the, you know, I understand.
Let's not put it on there, man.
Did they throw Vince Young on the list?
Who?
Did they throw Vince Young? I still haven't seen the list. Oh. They put Vince Young on there?
No, I don't think Vince Young was on the list, but they talked about him. I don't think, I don't think they showed him, but they talked about this shit. Lawrence Taylor was on the list, which one of the most tragic, great football players of all time. Like, god damn, just stop fucking up, LT. Please.
Cocaine, my nigga.
God damn. Tony Gwynn. But I gotta believe, and I don't know the full story, but I gotta believe he's on this list because of the cancer treatments.
But he got a job. He working.
Nigga, cancer's expensive. this is his second time. Like, he had cancer tumor, had surgery, had it removed, and then he's got cancer again. That shit, cancer's expensive, nigga. Shit. You saw Breaking Bad? Breaking Bad. Cancer's expensive.
That's messed up. Like, man, I'm trying to go out this weekend. Can you trying to roll? Nah, man. I ain't got no money. My cancer messing up.
My cancer flaying up, so my money's a little tight right now.
Can't roll right now, man.
Antoine Walker was on the list.
Of course.
I don't know. Everybody on Twitter, shout out to Thekka Jones, was tweeting like, this is just common sense. Everything that y'all making is stupid-ass mistakes. And I'm like, it's just not common sense. Everybody talking about this rookie symposium. I know we talked about this on the forecast before. They talk about this rookie symposium that they do for the, what is it, 3 days or is it a week?
Between 3 and a week, we'll say.
So you take a college player that's been playing for 2 to 4 years, that's never had any money. So they struggling their whole life. They get to the draft. This is after the draft, right? The symposium's after the draft. It's for the motherfuckers that get in. So you got an agent in your ear talking about millions of dollars every day, a couple times a day. They're offering you such and such a million. And you got this nigga talking to you for 24 hours or 48 hours or however long it is saying, don't go broke. I'm not hearing you right now. Because when I get out of this class, somebody might have $12 million for me to sign my name. Or $26 million like Vince Young. It just doesn't work that way, dog. It's like taking somebody who's an alcoholic, taking them to a bar and saying, hey, just don't drink. Good luck. And it's an open bar. And everybody leaving the bar. Like, yeah, it's just not going to work. You put somebody in that situation, hey, 9 times out of 10, the motherfucker's going to end up where they at. What was you about to say, Jerm?
Oh, I don't know. What was it? Oh, yeah, okay. So let me ask you a question. So seeing that, just give me three people that are currently in the league right now that you will see a future bankruptcy order for. Just give me somebody. Just a couple people.
In the league right now. Well,
yeah, somebody. Just athletes out right now that you sure are going to be in the bankruptcy court soon.
I don't even know.
Chris Johnson, for one.
Yep.
That shit, that makes sense. Chris Johnson's it's a great pool. That's a great pool. The cornerback that we took, Jenkins.
Janoris?
Yep.
Okay, he don't make pretty good decisions, so I usually don't have y'all. Dez Bryant. There we go. Dez.
Yep.
Yes.
Those three Eagle motherfuckers definitely.
That's cool.
I mean, it's kind of fucked up. Oh, probably Morris Claiborne too, because is he even doing anything yet?
He looked all right against the Giants Monday. He did all right. You know, but you're going against Victor Cruz. It's hard for you to look good against Victor Cruz.
It is.
But Mark Sanchez might be broke, too.
Who?
I guess Sanchez 3 years.
Oh, yeah, Sanchez. Yeah, he's going to be jobless. He's going to be unemployed.
Yeah, but you got to think that he's investing his money now.
In girls.
You might have a point. I just like I said before in another forecast, I just feel like the NFL needs to do more. You can't just keep plucking these kids out of their situation, throwing money at them, and expecting them to do different than what they've been doing their whole life. It just doesn't work that way. It's not common sense. There's certain factors you have to take into account. It just doesn't make sense. So unless they step in, like, I feel like this kind of thing on TV is cool for us to watch because it's kind of glorifying the bullshit. So we get to watch the great collapse, and we all like to watch a great collapse. We all like to watch the great scandal, watch somebody fuck up. That's what TV is. That's how we entertain ourselves in America. But if you're going to show this part of it, at the other end of it, NFL needs to do more. This is kind of fucked up to me. That's how I see it. I might be alone on that shit. But that was about it on TV. Tonight, or when you guys hear this, it'll be after the debate. There's the political debate, Obama and Romney get in the ring. And start sparring about the facts and issues. James, you don't talk about politics, but are you going to watch the debate?
Tonight is Wednesday. What time does it come on? 8 o'clock?
It's usually prime time, yeah.
8, 9. If T.I. and Tiny is not on, or yeah. Chrissy and Jim Jones is not on, yeah. Or, you know, if I'm not cutting my toenails, or, you know, taking an ice bath, or, you know, walking my pet iguana, I might watch it.
Now, is your disinterest because you already know who you're voting for?
I mean, come on, let's be real here. Let's be real. There's no fucking way Obama can screw up my vote. I mean, there's no way. Like, unless he go out there and say, you know what, fuck all y'all motherfucking niggas. I don't give a fuck. Y'all kiss my black ass, suck my dick, and pull it. I mean, I still probably vote for him because that shit would be the funniest shit ever. So, I mean, there's really no way. I mean, I really don't have to watch nothing. Like, I'm going in blind. Like, I don't give a fuck about the issues. I don't give a fuck. They could be like, oh, you ain't watched the debate last night? I'm like, nah, why? What happened? Obama said all niggas on the street after 12 o'clock gonna die. And I'd be fucked up because I'm not watching. You know what I'm saying? Not. You know, so, I mean, he got my vote. Regardless of the fact, I mean, hey, just bring on November, baby. That's how I'm looking at it. Save all that goddamn gas. All that talk, you gonna? I don't want to hear that shit. I don't care. Like, you know, some of that shit don't even affect me. People making over $250,000 doesn't affect me. the old people doesn't affect me. And, you know, so all that stuff. Nah, I'm good.
Hilarious. GQ, you seem to be stepped into the political analyst role for the missing Carter. What are your thoughts on this shit? Are you gonna watch?
I mean, I'm going to watch, but like Germ said, I mean, I already know who I'm going to vote for. But and let me say this. GQ Blue's thoughts do not necessarily reflect those of Nappy Afro for what I'm about to say.
Oh, shit, this nigga voting for Romney.
I'm not voting for Romney, but I'm not voting for Barack. I'm voting against Romney. It's like the lesser of two evils.
Really?
I'm not one of those black people that's just all in love with old Barry. I'm sorry. That's why I said, like I said, this is not reflecting Nappy Afro, because I know how y'all Negroes feel about Barack. Y'all ready to shoot. I don't want to be like Huey in the Boondocks. when he didn't want H2O, that Barack water.
Yeah, I'm watching simply to see Romney look bad. I've got a few people on my Facebook that are Romney supporters, and I just want the ammunition to go against them. That's pretty much all it's about. Because I'm like, y'all, I know where my vote's going already. I just want to see him go out there and look like an asshole and say something stupid and fuck around and say, well, you know, in my religion, we hate black people. I just want to hear him say it one good time so we can talk about this shit. Because when Obama was running, it was all about him being a Muslim and he's not Christian and all this shit. And his motherfucker Romney's parading around and he's a Mormon and no one's talking about this shit. It's not an issue. And I just think that's hypocritical of these motherfuckers. So I just want to see it. I just want to see him look bad and then I can throw that up in people's faces. So I'll be watching. Hopefully when you guys listen to this, you watched it and you have some thoughts, leave it in the comments. Why do we tell y'all to do shit? Y'all not going to do it. So whatever. You know, if you feel like leaving some shit, leave it. But y'all not going to leave no thoughts. Y'all just going to talk about the show and talk about the questions. Actually, only RT3, maybe Vic, and maybe Peabody. Y'all the motherfuckers that comment. The rest of you people just listen and don't do shit we ask you to do. We got no Save the Carter tweets, but Carter None. Came back. The Carter came back.
Carter came back. Y'all ain't even saved the Carter. See, the Carter saved itself, man. Y'all shit. Motherfuckers suck, Nappy Afro Nation. Come shit, on, man. Y'all, listen, man. This is the point in time for y'all to show the Carter that you really motherfucking care. We ain't ask for no money. We ain't ask for nothing but a motherfucking tweet. And a lot of y'all tweet a lot of bullshit, but I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't call no names out or nothing like that. And all y'all had to do was do pound Save the Carter. Hey, that's all you had to do. And we probably got one motherfucker. So you know what, man? That's how y'all feel, man. That's how y'all feel. Mm-hmm. So, all right, did you do the Save the Carter tweet?
I think I did the only Save the Carter tweet. You know, I tried to kick it off after the episode. I was like, yo, Save the Carter. And no one tweeted shit back. Is that the Facebook? And speaking of which, the headphones that we was talking about, I don't think that's going to happen either. If y'all want the headphones to happen, what's the name of the company?
Bigger Audio.
Put that shit, do hashtag Bigger Audio if you want the headphones to happen. Let them know.
The guy Josh said that it could be a couple weeks. We're working on it. So, you know, hey, headphones being, you know, maybe in a couple weeks. So hopefully we get it popping.
And we ain't giving y'all shit. I'm selling them. Yeah. I'm selling them headphones.
eBay. You know, it's all right. A lot of eBay, man. Hey, so,
I would put anything on eBay, nigga. I just sold some shit this weekend, too. I put anything on eBay. I'm putting them headphones on eBay, goddammit. Y'all ain't getting shit. Goddamn people. Yeah. But the Carter's back, as y'all saw. B-Eazy is back in the fold, at least posting stuff. He's not going to be on the Frocast. What's up, Germ? Why is he not on the Frocast?
Who, B-Eazy? I think it's because we are a hip-hop website, and when we started doing the Frocast, we talked about music, and we don't talk about music anymore. And I've heard rumblings from Peabody and B-Eazy about that you know, we just don't talk about music on the shows anymore. And, you know, let's be honest, people, music ain't that fun to talk about all the time. Like, we can't sit here and talk about for an hour and a half about, you know, the beat snares that Eminem used on song number 8. You know, how's that better than the beat snares that Tupac used on song? I mean, that shit's fucking, I mean, who gives a shit? Music is all objection. You know, your opinion is your opinion, mine is mine. But the shit we talk about, hey, man, that shit is fucking magic. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't, outside of playing the songs, I don't know what else we would talk about in music. If we're not going to play the song for you on the air, the rest of it is just a bunch of bullshit drama. You hear what such and such said about such and such, or somebody, whatever. Hey, B-Eazy, you want to talk about music? Suggest that shit, hop on the show. It's not a problem. It's not, when exactly. You're on the show and you bring up the music, we talk about music. I don't have a problem with this shit. All I'm saying is, get your ass back on the show, nigga.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Then, you gotta think about it, music thing. Me and Saul Wright on two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to music. So me and him sitting here talking about music, we'll never get anywhere.
Conversation
never.
Be short as shit. You listen to this? Nope. You listen to this?
Nope. Nope.
You like this? Nope. It. You like this? Nope. Oh, all right. Well, there we go. That's the music conversation for this week. It's been a great Frocast. We'll holler at you motherfuckers next week. That'd be the end of the show. So come on, be easy. You bring the levity to the situation. You got the facts on the shit. You know what producer worked with what producer's mama. Yep. You know all of that shit. So
yeah, because I saw a little thing, a little tidbit telling some, like, they said, me and Saul Wright, we didn't know who Joey Badass was. I'm like, okay, fuck, I thought he was a wrestler. You know, I didn't know he was a motherfucking rapper or whatever the fuck he does. I might still be wrong. So, and did get a compliment on Blue being on the show. He said that he seemed to fit in better than, you know, because he like all the stuff that we like. Like, he could, you know, like, sometimes we talk about Cornell about loving hip hop. Cornell be like, I don't watch that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know. It was just like, hey, Blue knew, hey, oh, he could fit it. We can talk about fantasy. We can talk about this. We can talk about, and it was, so, you know, so we did get some good feedback off the last show. And, you know, so, hey.
Shout out to Team Young Nigga. Team Young Nigga fitting in with the team all day.
Team Young Nigga, man. Well, I'm Team Young Nigga. I don't know. You old nigga by yourself.
Man, I'm going to slap your ass to sleep, nigga.
Fuck that shit. We trying to group me in. We trying to stare
at. If I graduate tomorrow, you graduate the day after.
Hey, I'm just saying, but look, I'm Team Young Nigga.
I ain't no Team Young Nigga, man.
Pro Nation, don't listen to what Saul Wright saying. I'm a young nigga. I got my skinny jeans and my truck fit on right now.
Snap back on, bro.
Yeah.
I'm about to post this nigga birth certificate on here like Papa shit. This nigga German something else.
Can we see your birth certificate?
Right. We need to see that nigga birth certificate because he on some other shit. Speaking of some other shit, let's talk about rich folks getting unemployment. Apparently, according to sources, almost 2,400 people who received unemployment insurance in 2009 lived in households with annual incomes of $1 million or more. God damn. That's a lot of motherfuckers frauding the system. $1 million or more, that ain't black people.
Yeah, you're right. Damn, how do you... That's got to be a hell of a damn check to get. Like, if you was getting, let's say you was making good money and you get an unemployment check, and, you know, unemployment is usually, what, about 80% of whatever you usually get or some shit like that?
Yeah, about 75%.
Yeah, how the fuck, I mean, how could you even feel good, you know, you draw unemployment, your check, like, fucking $1,000 a week? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's shit. That's
crazy as hell, man. And this is the household. So you was making $400,000 or $500,000, and your spouse was making $500,000 or $600,000. That shit's crazy as fuck, man. That shit's crazy. And wait, but the way this reads, it says that they received unemployment insurance households with annual incomes of $1 million. So when they lost their job, the other spouse was still making it over $1 million?
Yeah.
Close to it.
That's crazy as shit. That's crazy as shit, but black folks are the ones fucking up the system.
Hey, cause we, but you know how it's black people do, man. You know, we are defraud the system and flaunt it in their face. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're right. Ooh,
that couple that was living on that waterfront property that was getting welfare and was taking $1 million trips, they going to fucking jail too.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't say I'm not mad about that.
They going to that soft jail. They ain't going to no Oz jail.
They going to prison, is the report. He had to pay $330,000, and then he had to pay another $30,000. The wife has to pay $267,000, and they're doing 18 months in prison.
Oh, yeah, they need to. Yeah. Fuck that. You can't defraud tonight. And if you had a little, you know, you was working at, like, Walmart, Sam's Club, little job like that, and... You know, you fudge your little records and saying, yeah, I went look for a job this week. And, you know, just to get a little $300-$400, man, I ain't mad at you. But when you fucking go, you know, living high on the hog, yeah, your ass need to be in jail. Fuck that shit. Yeah. I'm team government on this one, man. Team government.
Nigga, unemployment, as easy as it is to just say that you did your job hunt shit, that shit's stressful, man. When I was getting unemployment in Maryland, like, You would literally, and I don't know if this is a good or bad thing or the whole point of it all, however you want to see it, but you would find yourself applying for the same jobs if you're not careful. Like, if you just go on one of those job hunting sites, Monster or Craigslist or Indeed.com, you find yourself applying for the same job a few times, and I don't think they count that shit. So I would literally, I think you're supposed to apply for at least two a week, which would be four for each pay period. So it's not a lot.
No.
But you want to have enough emails. So I was doing 6 or 7 a week.
Oh, they let y'all do emails?
Huh?
You had email. This is what I would do. I mean, when I was doing mine, I would just go through the phone book and I would call people like, hey, are y'all hiring? They say no. I write down their name and number and then fuck it. You know, because as long as you called and you had a little record, your log, and I'll make sure I did my logs in different color ink, even though I did all this in the same day. Who gives a shit? But, you know, I would make sure all my logs were in different color ink so it looked like I was actually doing on different days. And, you know, because, like, they'll call you in every 6 to 8 weeks and say, hey, let me check your logs and make sure you had your numbers right and all that. But, you know.
Nah, I just did it. I did it online because I knew I wasn't going to keep up with no log of writing shit.
Oh, okay.
I lost it. So if you shoot it through Gmail or through Craigslist, you got an automatic log of it. So when it came time to verify your shit, I think they only verified mine like 3 or 4 times. I just sent them the list of all the job numbers and shit or the emails. I just forwarded them the emails and it was all right there. But just that feeling of, you know what I'm saying, somebody could look at your shit and say, you know what, I don't think this is a real application. Fuck out of here and take your little bit of money. Take your little pennies. That's some shit.
Yeah. That shit hurt.
You ain't know?
That shit hurt.
You like, God damn. When they had a delay, when you got used to that shit coming on Friday, and that shit didn't come until like next Wednesday, you was like, hey, nigga, hey, I need my pennies, yo.
Yep.
And I was getting unemployment from a job where I was only making $500 a week. So I wasn't making no money on unemployment. And when my shit was late, I was mad as fuck.
I needed my little 212. Fuck that. I was like, that 212.
Exactly. For real. That shit's serious. So looking at this list, these are not black folks. Watch the debates, people. Watch the debate. This is the kind of shit they're talking about. They study blaming us and talking about people that are not trying to help themselves. Well, them motherfuckers is making $1 million a year. The people that's not helping themselves. Go ahead.
And let's remember, black folks, don't believe the lie. Quit letting them tell you that black people are welfare queens and always scamming the system. A majority of welfare recipients are white women. Let's get that clear.
Say that shit again. Say it again.
See, I hate to be on my political high horse, but some things, you know, just kind of rob my blood a little bit. All this talk about this 47%, and yes, Mitt Romney's an asshole for saying that, but real talk, ain't nobody talking to poor people like us. 70% of the nation is either working class or poor. So, like, when they say, oh, yeah, we ride with the 47%, no, you don't. Y'all talk about the middle class all the time. And the middle class is only about 20% of all of America. So, make sure y'all watch this shit tonight, people.
Yeah, and they got to define middle class. You know, they've been talking about this 250,000. I don't know what middle the fuck that is.
No.
I've never lived in a household that made that kind of money. Ever. In my life. And I went to the private school, and I did the middle America shit. Ain't nobody ever made no 250,000. So, you know, watch this shit, man. Y'all been keeping up with BET at all, by any chance whatsoever?
I try, man. I try every once in a while.
Y'all know that Roxy and Terrence are gone.
I heard that.
So they got their new host, and it's like a host by committee. I don't even know all their fucking names. But allegedly, one of the hosts is Bow Wow. And the reason I bring Bow Wow's name up is because, obviously, he's Mr. 106 in Park, as he calls himself. But he's gotten into a little issue of his own about paying some child support. He's apparently behind in child support and says that, you know, at his last hearing that he makes $4,000 a month working at Cash Money Records, and that's it. He says that he leases a Jeep and has a grand total of $1,500 in his checking account. So if he makes $4,000 a month before taxes, he's supposed to pay $3,000 a month in child support. How is the fuck is he managing that? Well, it's because he's working at 106 in Park, and apparently he's got some money. So they're paying him, you know what I'm saying? They're paying him handsomely. Because, you know, Roxy and Terrence was supposed to be making $40 or $50 million a piece.
What?
You didn't hear about that last contract? That last contract that they shopped around that they reportedly signed was like $96 million combined.
Ho, the fuck up.
You didn't hear about that shit?
Get the fuck out. I would have been doing 106 apart till I was 106, my goddamn self.
Probably, from what I can tell, because Terrence is going on to do shit with E, and I think the parent company of all that shit is the same company.
Viacom.
So, so it's just a transfer for him. I don't know what the fuck Roxy's doing. But Roxy's
done. She better go suck a dick or something. Get pregnant. Because she has no talent. I mean, let's be real here. That's why she got the fucking job. It wasn't because, you know, she was talented. No, it was because the way she looked. And, you know, I was never a Roxy fan. Never, ever, ever.
But she was radio host. She had, like, the on-air type talent.
Oh, okay. $40 million. Look, $40 million.
Hey, that's just allegedly. That's allegedly what they last.
Allegedly, $40 million talent. Nah,
there's a lot of motherfuckers making money. They ain't got no talent, so I can't even take no issue.
Kim Kardashian is one, but go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Apparently they got some money at BET, and Bow Wow got some of it, and now he has to pay back $11,500 in back child support.
Damn.
Now, I've seen Bow Wow talk about his Lamborghinis and shit.
Yeah.
So, where's the money, Bow? How do you get a monthly salary when you don't have an album out?
I mean, maybe he has his money from his movies and stuff that the residuals from that and, you know, that's all I can think about. Maybe Bow Wow got some, I don't know, clothing line maybe.
That nigga asked Birdman for money. Like, hey, yo, Birdman, can I get $5?
I think he's getting an allowance from Cash Money. Because he says he makes $4,000 working as an employee. And if you're working, but you're not putting out albums, you're not even doing features. He's not on anybody's album. So, what is he getting money for at Cash Money?
Weed carrier.
The nigga's he's like Tiger's personal tattoo tester and shit. Tiger think of a design. They put it on Bow Wow before they put it on him and some shit. I don't know, but god damn, that child support shit, that's a motherfucker, man. Hey, if you fucking abroad and you don't use no condom and shit, be sure that's the motherfucker you want to be with forever, cause it could happen.
Yes, sir.
These motherfuckers, hey, I ain't got no kids, so shit, fuck all that. GQ, you still kidless?
Oh yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. No kids yet. Can't do it.
She just ain't called you and told you that kid is yours yet. Is that what it is? That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a scare. I admit, I've had a scare once or twice. The longest 5 minutes of my life going down that Kroger aisle. But, you know.
Hey, man, you black. What black man hasn't had a scare?
Man, that's the scariest. That moment in your life, boy, get real.
So you had to let Corey Holcomb take her to an amusement park and put him put him on the roller coaster. Corey Hogan said you can scare a bitch into an abortion.
Damn.
You ain't heard him say that shit? Corey Hogan is a bad motherfucker, man. He said you can scare a bitch into an abortion.
Damn.
So yeah, good luck, Bow Wow. Shit, I don't know what else to say. That child support case is a motherfucker. Speaking of bitches, we have a woman out here on the news that apparently concealed, listen to this shit carefully, 36 vials of crack in her snatch. 36. Okay, so Ashley
Bellamy. My type of girl right there.
Ashley Bellamy. You want to holler?
I guess she has that dope pussy.
Well played. Well played. She got crack in her crack. 22 years old, Ashley Bellamy, and her boyfriend Marcus Gibson. Apparently he got pulled over some shit, and well, they had crack. It's pretty much it. I'm not reading the whole fucking story, but they got robbed. The motherfucker ended up getting caught by the cops, and she had 36 vials of crack in her pussy that they, of course, called a female cop to search her and found. Like, what the fuck is that like standing outside? Because, you know, they still going to search you. Standing outside and seeing the cops still reaching in and pulling out crack after crack. Like, because that's not one baggie. 36 vials can't be in one baggie.
Well, I mean, it could, but she's, I mean, what, that was a bad tuck job. I mean, because one, when you put it in there, you're supposed to push it in there. I mean, you know, and then, like what I'm saying, like, they must have saw her vision with herself, because they don't do the strip search on you like that, you know what I'm saying, on the spot. So she must have gave away, you know, like, she was fidgeting, and they seen her, you know, playing with herself or something. Because
it says that she was walking funny.
Yeah, exactly. She must ain't having the tuck job wasn't good. Yeah, because, you know, I done seen a girl stuff like 3 ounces in her pussy before.
Why?
You know what I'm saying? Of weed.
Why have you seen that, Germ?
I mean, hey, man, I used to be a crazy. Hey, I remember nights. I couldn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy. Had to give.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Blue. What was you about to say, bro?
But yo, man, if she fit 36 vials, man, her walls gotta be gone, bro.
Nah, man, her babies come out. Look, her babies come out of put. Do y'all know how a wide of? Listen, man, I can't wait to y'all boys experience childbirth in 3D.
It all makes sense when you're talking about a baby. This regular fucking day.
Okay, so that the pussy is a motherfucking balloon. It stretches. How you think bitches go from fucking Mandingo to fucking, you know, like, you know, Oscar Mayer Wiener?
How long does it take for her to stretch wide enough to have a baby come out?
And about 10 months. But who cares? Okay. Nobody cares.
This bitch did this shit in 10 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Man.
She put a stuff all in her pussy.
I've seen a nigga put his head in a girl pussy before. Okay. Not in person, but on video. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, come on, man.
Jeremy, you've seen way too much shit in your lifetime.
Yes. Internet is a big fucking place, man.
That shit is crazy as hell.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that I was just like, that was a bad tuck job, man. Because you know the one we talked about, the Frocast, where the brother ate to crack out the brother's ass. Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, like, he do a good tuck job. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that shit's going to be caught. You know what I'm saying? If you get locked up, they're going to make you spread. You got to bend over and spread.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like I said, at the time where they was on the street, you know, like, she was supposed to have it, like, maybe, I don't know if she had them in the bag, and I don't know, but maybe it was feeling good to her. That's why she was walking funny, because all them vials in the bag, rubbing them. She was in there like, oh, shit. Like, oh. Yeah. Don't let one of them motherfuckers bust up in her, man. Oh, Lord.
Well, yes, sir. She got a long time to work on, to figure out how the fuck that's going to work.
And speaking of jail, the Alabama fan that teabagged the passed out LSU fan, and after the championship game last year, he got sentenced to 2 years.
Wait, what?
Oh, you didn't hear the story. Okay, so last year after LSU and Alabama played the championship game in New Orleans, there was some LSU fan laying in the crystals, and he was, like, passed out drunk. I mean, dead to the world drunk. And so some Alabama fan, like, unzipped his pants and pulled his sack out and, like, teabagged his ass in front of, like, everybody and, like, people on camera shooting it and everything. And so they pressed charges. They found out who the guy was, pressed charges on him, and he got sentenced to 2 years. I guess it. But he don't have the rest as a sex offender, so he did beat that, you know, to 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's he could have had the rest as a sex offender, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, they had a little leniency on him because he, you know, he's married, he got a kid, you know.
So he should have had better fucking judgment.
You 30 years old teabagging motherfuckers. I'm sorry. It's all right. I'm a grown ass fucking man. I don't care how much fun we having. Never a time will come about. And I was like, yo, you know, it'd be real funny if I put my fucking nuts out and sit him on this dude's face. No, I'm 30.
Let me just tell you from my experience, going to school with all the white kids, white people just do shit differently than black folks. When I used to hang out with my boys, and this is even in grade school, I knew then not to fall asleep first, because the shit they would do to each other when somebody fall asleep was terrible. I'm talking about they call your name real loud and wake up and you hit your face in somebody's naked ass. You be sitting there and it sound like somebody clapping and you wake up and the motherfucker slapping their balls. Like this shit, white people party way different than black motherfuckers.
Yeah, like that little. You blindfold somebody, you stand over there, you stand over them, like, yeah, like somebody blindfold, they laying on their back, and the dude standing over you, he punches you in your balls, so the first thing you do is sit up, and when you sit up, it's face right in the ass.
Seen it happen.
And that shit would piss me the fuck off. Seen it happen. Like, don't draw on me, you know, don't draw no balls on my fucking forehead. I don't want none of that shit, man. That shit is not fucking cool, man.
That shit
not
as hell. They still say fuck carrots.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit's crazy, man. So I can't even imagine a grown ass man doing that shit. Somebody should have whooped his ass for the nigga that was laid out.
This is a stranger. Like, I mean, you should see him. They was like, man, you gotta watch the video. He's like in a crib, like the dude in the restaurant. Like they start messing with him. And they see that he's fucking passed out, drunk, and he ain't moving. And the dude just unzipped his pants, pulled his sack out, started on his man's face. Man, I'm just like, man, come on,
and
man.
And they watched it.
Yeah, people was like on the other, like they was recording it, and then yeah, other people recording it. It was crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. And somebody's friends, the nigga had to have a friend around him or something.
Where are your friends? Your friends don't let you get that drunk, man.
God, like,
you ain't my friend. And if you let me get that drunk, and if you do let me get that drunk, at least goddamn make sure I get a cab home and not laid out somewhere letting motherfuckers rob him. I'm pretty sure every dime he had got stole out of his pocket that night, because I would have robbed him. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna say robbed him, because that's not a robbery. I just would have, you know, ran his pockets. I'm like, fuck it. Oh, he got $200 on him. Cool. I kept it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm surprised this shit didn't happen in goddamn Buckhead in Atlanta. Because, you know, that little party square right there in Buckhead is the worst. That motherfuckers be getting way drunk. I've seen many a nigga on the street sleep.
I'm talking about, and then the French Quarter, that was
the most
I've ever seen in my life. And so I could just imagine, like, championship night and LSU and Alabama playing, how many people were down there. And I was just down there on a regular November night, and it was fucking nuts. And I mean, I was just like, wow, I can imagine when it's a million people down here how it is. So, you know, it's crazy, man. So, you know, shout out to the, you know, LSU fan that got teabagged, you know. Hopefully you're okay and everything's all right. And hopefully you're in Gainesville this week and you have another pass out moment and one of the Gainesville people teabag you. But we don't get down like that in Florida. That shit is not cool, but you know.
Goddamn. Let's get to the questions, bro. We got some questions from the nation.
A lot of questions from the nation.
They kicked in this week. You know, as much as we talk about you motherfuckers, you sent your questions in. I won't say if they're good or bad questions, but you sent the questions in, so we appreciate it. To each of the questions we got this week. The first one is from Germ's homeboy, Short T. What is it?
Short.
What's the rest of his Twitter name?
Short T. 318.
318. First off, Save the Carter. That would be our second Save the Carter for this show. Even though he didn't tweet it, he put it in the question. So we appreciate that, bro. The Carter is back and in full effect. So make sure you check it out. Be easy. Let them know y'all missed them. Or if you didn't, say fuck you. Whatever.
Yeah.
But Short T's question is, second, last episode, y'all were talking about old rappers that need to stop trying to adapt to young kids. Then later in the week, I heard Master P's new song, Friends with Benefits, with Kirko Bangs, and I was shocked. I didn't know Master P had a new song. Anyway, I'm from Louisiana, so I respect P. Miller and all he's done, but the I'll take you everywhere, I'll buy you anything, super simple attitude from him, ain't cutting it with me. My biggest problem was that he's using the bad bitch as a compliment. How old is too old to be chasing after young chicks? I think anything over 5 years is creepy. 5 years older than you if you're 18, and if the person is 18, 5 years older is cool with me. Shout out to Joe Budden.
Yeah, he's allegedly 32, and his woman is 20. I said, hold on. Ain't no fucking way I'm older than Joe Budden. I said, no fucking way I'm older than Joe Budden. I said, nope, not believing it, not for a second. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but as far as that, I'm sorry, Short T, I disagree with you. I don't like young women because, you know, I like the okay, let me form this right.
So oh, God. Slow down.
Hanson.
You're right.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. I said, hold on, let me get it together because that went about to sound right. I'm about to say, I like looking at younger women, but then I was about to say, no, that didn't sound right either. But yeah, women, like college age women, they're good to look at. Not to, like, I like women between 22 and 25. Them the ones I like, you know, if I was single and still in that little, you know, them the ones I go for. Even though I am over 30, I still go for me a 22 to 25 year old, just because, you know, they've been through enough, and you know, they ain't still stupid and dumb. And them 18 to 21, y'all the dumbest bitches alive.
Oh,
y'all the ones that make mistakes that you regret. And I don't want to deal with that right then. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather 22, when that regret kicked in, you could say, oh, I don't hang with girls no more. They keep up too much mess. So you done went through some shit. So the 22 to 25, them the ones I like right there. Plus your body is at that peak prime, you know, the titties still hanging. Nice and ain't sagging, and you know, you ain't got too many. You know, Freddy Krueger ain't got to your stomach unless you had a couple babies, but you know, it's just like that's when you're prime, right there, man. That's when you're prime, 22 to 25. Yeah, that's why I say.
So, how old would you have to be for 22 to 25 to be too young for you?
Never. 22 to 25 gonna always be my mother. What do you mean? Like, my motherfucking wife left me, and you know, nigga, I'm jumping back out there with me, a 22, 25-year-old nigga. Fuck that shit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's just how it's going to go down. So I'm never, but them the optimal, them the ones you want right there. Now, you know, as I got older, you know, I started appreciating the older women. I still don't like older women. Like, I won't date a woman over 40. not gonna happen. Maybe when I turn 40, it might be that way, but you know, nah, 40, that's my cutoff. 39 is my cutoff age. You know, once you get 40, nah, you start getting that little, I don't know, it'd be weird, man. But go ahead, before I start shitting on the old women.
Right. You've already shit on all of New York, so that's already a problem this episode. Go ahead, GQ.
I mean, I agree with Germ. I can't do 18.
Nigga, you 18.
Really? Man, screw you now. Old nigga. No, I'm playing.
You right, though. I am old shit. Fuck it.
Oh, nigga, ancient.
Germ.
like Germ said, true story. I'm 23.
And nigga remember Old Rush.
Yo, I remember that nigga Be Easy said, how much did it cost? 2 bits?
He said you went saw Three Stooges at the black and white. Easy was like, oh, something that cost 2 bits?
Oh shit. Sorry about that, GQ. That was a classic moment in Fro history right there. Go ahead, bro.
Y'all good. Nah, like Jerv said, man, you know, under 21, your mind ain't right. True story. Last year I was in the library, you know, studying. It was a girl there, and we were just talking about, you know, a bunch of nonsense. She was a freshman, you know, I was helping her out. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's like, man, I'd really like to try crack.
What?
Yeah, man.
Was this the library on campus, or was you at the city library?
No, we're at extra library, bro. And she's like, you know what? Yeah, y'all probably judging me. Like, hell yeah, we're judging you, motherfucker. Like, who says that? Like, you know, I wish I could try crack, but I'm just scared. I'm like, good, you scared, because your life will be messed up. I'm like, wow, that is an 18-year-old comment. So, no, no 21 for me.
Yeah, there's people on that site that we read say shit like that all the time. And their justification is, try to get it out the way. Do this shit and get it out the way. Experience all of life. I'm with you. That's some bullshit.
So let me ask you a question. So just try it and get out of the way. So let's say, for instance, you with a chick and she wants to stick her finger in your ass. I mean, what the fuck? I'm not going to let you. I'm not. Call me closed-minded. That's not going to happen. Sorry, it's not.
I had a conversation like that with somebody on Twitter. One of my followers said that there's two type of guys in this world. Guys that like having an asshole played with and guys that don't know yet. And I was like, excuse me, motherfucker? What the hell are you talking about? And she went on to say that's the kind of niggas she like, is dudes that are open, that like they asshole play with and shit.
Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah, it's some shit I don't need to try to know that I ain't fucking with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I've never had my, ain't never been there. I think I'm okay missing out on that in life. I mean, if I die not knowing that what it feel like to have my asshole play with, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay. I missed that train. I'm all right. It's a lot of shit in life I'm not going to experience, you know? So I'm cool.
Literally. Literally. It's a lot of shit. You go in there have a hard-ass bowel movement, and that shit changed your mind about going to the bathroom. So I definitely don't need nobody to play with my ass.
I'm good.
Nah,
So what's your youngest? You'll go Saul, right? You'll dip down.
You know what? I don't know. The older I get, the less I want to deal with drama. And I think the younger these bitches are, the more drama they have. So, you know, shit, just keep that shit around my wheelhouse. I can't. If we just fucking, hey, as long as you legal, we can fuck.
And see, because it's just like.
And I'm single, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Cause maybe I'm getting older, but the kids look younger. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm just like, God, little kids in my neighborhood, I've been talking, you 18 with that baby face? Like, really? Like, you look so young, and it's just, I don't understand how these niggas, like, well, she 18, though. Like, I mean, if she was 18 and she looked like she was 25, yes. If she 18 and she looked like she's 17, 18, I can't
fuck with that.
Okay, you know, you got at least, right. You at least had to go through something in life, you know what I'm saying? You got, you know, something, you just can't, you know, have some kind of, if you, you know, you just can't look, nah, I just can't deal with it.
That's my age. That's my cutoff. My niece is 20. I can't fuck with nobody younger than 20. You can't be younger than my niece. That's some bullshit. The one thing that's weird about, you know, with this question up there, that's.
So if your niece 15, would your youngest be 15, nigga?
No. First of all, I said legal.
Okay.
So since, we established, that boundary, Chris Hansen, that's not it. But that's one of the weird things with shit like Twitter and Facebook and all this shit, is because you meet a lot of people that are a lot more mature than they were when we were growing up. Like, yeah. I know 18-year-old people are going to say stupid shit, but a lot of these people, like, I think Whipped Queen, Lyle, is only 24. Like, she's team young nigga. Mm. But she's mad interesting to me. She's hella bright. She knows a lot of shit. And it seems like a lot of people on Twitter in that age bracket are, now, they could just be some of the people that are interesting on social media.
I was gonna say, let's not think that that age bracket is all good, because it's a lot of motherfucking ignorant. I'm gonna say the ignorant outweigh the smart ones.
I agree with you. Hey, there's a whole Tumblr for that shit. Tweets. There's a whole Tumblr for that shit. But niggas saying shit like Jay-Z is the pinnacle. P-I-N space K-N-U-C-K-L-E.
Pinnacle
of success. Yeah. So I hear you, but there's a lot of different. There's a lot more eclectic females. Like, when I was in the 18-year-old age range, them bitches weren't about shit. They had just got titties and ass around 18. You know what I'm saying? Sophomore year in high school, junior year to senior year, somewhere in that transition, that's when they just started developing when we were younger. Now these motherfuckers is 12 years old with titties and ass, and then with the internet, they're learning a lot more other shit, so you fuck around to be fooled for real. So that's why I say, fuck, you know, I can't deal with the age. The less drama it is, the better for me. So if I'm single, heaven forbid, I end up single again. Because this shit.
I'm being bad shape.
I'm going to be horrible shit, dog.
I've been off the market for a long motherfucking time. I wouldn't even know what I'd be coming with the old fucking whack ass game. Talking about what's good, ma? You know, be like, what the fuck?
Hey, because that put you on.
Yeah,
you be like, to a chick that used to put you on.
Hey, you could be like, hey, Sade. You can say anything. The girls used to love that shit. I'd be like, mommy. I say all kinds of stuff. But now, man, you got to be respectful with the women. And some girls call me bitch. Oh, fuck. Like, that's some weird shit.
I just had, I don't want to say argument. I had a disagreement with one of my homegirls. She's younger. And I realized how short my fuse is with people because I'm married. And I got my wife, I got a sister-in-law, I got my niece, I got my mom. If you're not one of those women, I don't want to hear any fucking drama from you at all. I have no filter in my mouth, and I could give a fuck less. So it was a real minor disagreement, but because of the way I feel about it, I was just like, fuck you and fuck what you're talking about. And that's how I feel. So I know if I'm single, I'm going to be the worst nigga ever. I'm a single, lonely motherfucker, for real. I hate drama, dog. I hate drama, and young bitches bring drama. So, Shorty, fuck all them young bitches.
Fuck them. They in your age range.
Yeah.
Put your dick in every hole that you can get them in. While they in that regret stage, because once they get past, I'm telling you, Shorty, now, tell you some real shit. That bitch that you and your boys dogging out when she 18, 19, when you see her, she 22, 23, 24, she ain't gonna fuck with y'all niggas, man. She gonna look at y'all like she don't even know y'all niggas. And you gonna remember that night. You like, man, I mean, we're dogging her ass out. But you gonna be like, but she gonna be on some other shit, empowered then. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you ain't gonna be able to fuck with her. So get them right at right now. And you know, ladies, I'm telling you, you know, just please bear with them. They'll be all right.
So the next question we got on here from the Questions from the Nation is from Peabody. Shout out.
So like a 9-part question. So we'll try to answer as many of them as we can.
Does. You know how he does.
Yeah.
Says, who is y'all's favorite duo?
Stop right there. Answer the question. We're going to do it like this.
All right. Well, I've already said on the Frocast before, Outkast is my all-time favorite duo, but Nice and Smooth is a close second.
All right. And you, Blue?
I'm going to say UGK.
Okay. Now I'm going to go with Outkast.
There we go.
All right.
Where does Scarface stand as an all-time great on y'all's list?
Stop.
Scarface. I don't know these all-time lists. Scarface is one of the best. Next,
you, Blue. Where does he stand on your list?
I mean, that's hard because that's best, and you got to be your biased list and the best list. So best list, he's top five. My personal favorite, he's in the top 15.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Like, I respect his work, but to put him in my top whatever, Nah. Like, it's like, I can't say that I sit there and like, oh, I like this whole Scarface album. Nah, I can't. Nah. Can't do it. So I respect what the man has done for the game and everything, but I can't put him on. He's not, you know, he's not making my list, like my top 10 or 20 or nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't see him on that list.
Yeah, that's the question. It's like, what do you mean all-time list? And how long is this list that we talking about? Because I could do an all-time great 25 or 30, and he'd be on that list easily. But I don't think that diminishes his impact on the.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, he can't do. Yeah, his impact, you know, is not. You know, is not. You know, you just can't. Like, maybe him being number three on the list still wouldn't be, because he'd give him credit because, like, Scarface. You know what I'm saying? He's like Godfather, so you know he gets a pass. You know.
Do you see yourself buying physical CDs ever again? Absolutely. I still go crate digging. When I have money, I go to the. I find a record shop, a local record shop, and I go crate digging. So yeah.
Blue,
I do too. If I like you and I support you, I buy your CD. I bought that Frank Ocean CD and I bought the Nas CD. So
where did you get a physical copy of the Frank Ocean?
FYE at the mall.
All right. Germ, shit. When the last time?
Yes, I will. I bought Charlie
Fonte. Right.
I bought three CDs last year. Fonte, J. Cole, and Lil Wayne. Man, I'm on three CDs. And then the first CDs I bought in over. 8 years. So yeah. If Fonte, J. Cole, or, you know, release another album, I buy it.
And I just want to point this out since the question was on there. If any of you motherfuckers say no to this question, but you have some $300 Beats by Dre headphones, you stupid as shit. Mm-hmm. You're listening to fucking MP3s with some $300 headphones. You lost your mind. The next question, what's the worst haircut? What? What's the worst haircut you've ever had? Nigga, I'm gonna save my story for last.
No, the worst cut I ever had was the one I did myself. And did you pay the
barber when he... Oh, okay. So
the one I did myself, I was... it started out my part. You know, you used to get parts back in the days, and when your hair grow back, you know, you can't hardly see your part. So I was trying to freshen my part up. You know, I did it with some scissors, but it still wasn't as good as I wanted it. So, you know, I went and grabbed the clippers. So I sit there, and I got my part back right, but that wasn't good enough for me. I had to go cut some hair off, because I was like, shoot, I might as well just go ahead and fix my fade then. And hey, if you don't know what you're doing, don't pick up no motherfucking clippers. Because, you know, I had to guard all the way down. So, first motherfucking thing I did, I went and straight down the middle and had a motherfucking. I mean, you should have seen that line was so fucked up and bald. And so I just kept trying to fix it. And then I just seen that it wasn't looking right. And I just stopped. And then my mama came home. She was just like, matter of fact, I had put a hat on like that whole day. So she ain't see it. So, like, got up for school the next day. She seen my motherfucking head. She was just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You know, she probably cussed at that. My mama don't never cuss. But she probably was like, what the fuck? And, you know, and I told her what I did. She was like, are you going to school like this? And I was like, all right. And she took all my, she wouldn't let me wear no hat. So that was the most embarrassing motherfucking day. Like, one of the most, you know, my head all fucked up. I'm sitting in the class trying to hide that shit. And the teacher called home that day. Was like, yeah, something's wrong with Jeremy. He wasn't, you know. And my mom said, yeah, that's because he cut his hair. She's like, why didn't he notice it? You know, I'm like, my head like, bitch, you noticed that shit. What the fuck? But, yeah, that's so. No, I didn't have to pay the barber because I was the barber.
God damn, Jerm.
Yeah.
Jerm, you done had a full life, my nigga.
I mean, that's what I said, man. That's what I tell my kids, man. I done seen it all, done it all. You know, so my kids can't come home with that bullshit. You come home smelling like weed hot, daddy gonna know. You tripping off Molly, daddy gonna know. You know what I'm saying? You drunk, daddy gonna know. You selling drugs, daddy gonna know. You fucking, daddy gonna know. So I'm just trying to tell him, y'all can't pull the wool over my motherfucking eyes. You know what I'm saying? Y'all might get your mama, but she ain't gonna get me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Blue, what about you, bro?
My worst haircut wasn't even necessarily a bad haircut, but I just got fucked up at the end of it. So when I was a kid, I was real quiet, and I was real shy, and we would have a family reunion and stuff. We had a family over, and I would never want to come out. I would just want to be to myself, watch TV. So one day, I went to my uncle, and he cut my hair, and he was real rough and, you know, grabbed my head and told me to sit still. And I was like, no, stop it. I was like, you're being a little girl. So I was real upset. I was real mad. So we supposed to go to a family cookout afterwards, and I'm like, nah, I don't want to do nothing. And so I go in my dad's car and just sit in the car where everybody else, you know, cooking and having a good time, whatever. And so,
you should really meet Be Easy because y'all sound totally alike, but go ahead.
And so, yeah, I'd be like 11 when this happened, 11, 12 years old. And so I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, man, just F everybody or whatever. This is stupid. And so I see the gear switch in the car, and I don't know where my little mind went. I just pulled back, car reversed, backed up all the way in the street, backed up into the neighbor's garage. Neighbor comes out, what the hell you doing? Nah, 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 nah. My dad come out, pull me out that car, boy, take me upstairs, my grandmama's house. Woo! Talking about a beating.
This nigga had a haircut that changed his life down there.
I was like, oh, man. And it wasn't one of those really, like, all right, drop your pants. But it was like, oh, you a man that you think you can drive when you went to a driver's license, boy, huh? I was like, ah!
It's one of those ass movements that went all the way up your back.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're going to cry today, boy.
Neck, up your back.
God damn. My worst haircut. All right, so y'all know about my age. High school years is 91, 92, you know, that area. I'm in high school.
82.
Bitch. So... at that time, everybody was putting the kits in their hair. You know what I'm saying? You're doing the Hawaiian silky or whatever. So I decided that, y'all already know where this shit going. I decided I wanted to get a kit in my hair. You know, I just got the fresh job at the movie theater working concessions. I just got my fucking ear pierced for my birthday. I was like, shit. I was going all in. I was like, shit. You know what I'm saying? Let me go ahead and get the Hawaiian silky in this shit. So, the night before I go to get the Hawaiian silky put in this motherfucker, it wasn't Hawaiian silky, but it was some kind of damn text, I washed my hair. Now, if you know anything about perms and chemistry, washing your hair and scratching your scalp are the worst things you can do before you get that
cure. Worst thing.
So, I washed my fucking hair the night before. And I'm not talking about 7 o'clock and my haircut was at noon. I'm talking about 9 p.m. and my haircut was at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I go in there and he put the shit in. As soon as he put the shit in my head, it started burning. Like ASAP, because my pores was wide the fuck open. But I didn't know shit about it. I thought, that, you know, it was just a process. I heard that it burned. So I'm like, all right. So he's like, all right, well, let me know if it starts to burn. And he just got the front part of my hair. He hadn't even got to the sides of that shit. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's burning. He's like, damn, already? And I said, yeah, it's burning already. And he was like, well, did you been scratching it? And I was like, no. Did you wash it or something? I was like, yeah, I washed it last night. He was like, oh, well, shit. So he starts spraying the oil and shit in there, trying to get the rest of the texturizer in, because now he's racing the clock. So by the time he got to the back half of my head was on fire. Nigga, like, that is the worst pain I ever felt. I was like, oh, my God. So he washes the shit out. The kit barely took, but because of my hair texture, I look like fucking Julio from Mexico or some shit. My shit was straight curly like the Jets or some shit. I don't even know. But when I looked in the mirror, the entire lining was all burns. All across the front, all down the side, like my sideburns, all that was burns. Chemical burns. And yes, I had to start work the next day. So I went to work. And because they didn't allow the earrings, I had to put a Band-Aid over my ear, and I had Band-Aids all across my scalp, nigga. That shit was the worst. So yeah, that was the worst haircut.
Shit, that nigga look like Michael after the Pepsi commercial.
This shit was so tragic. It was so tragic. And you know, back then, the girls were still nice because I was cool with the females. They was like, your hair looks good. I don't know what happened here, but the hair looks good. It was the worst. And you know, you got to do all you can, because if you have you got to do everything you can to not peel that shit away. Otherwise, you end up with permanent scarring.
Yeah.
Scar hairline. So, nigga. That was the worst shit ever. It was horrible. That was the worst shit ever. Goddamn. That was the shit. And did I pay him afterwards? Yes.
Oh, man.
I paid him because I fucked it up. Well, I'm going to not pay him when I fucked it up.
Hey, man, he's supposed to know, though, man. Once he seen that, he was supposed to look at your scalp and see that, it, you know, and tell him, like, nah, if I put these chemicals on here, it is not, you know, because most beauticians, they'll check, they'll ask the girl that, you know, well, most ladies know, but yeah, if they don't know.
This is a dude barber, you know what I'm saying? He probably didn't even do that shit like that for real.
Yeah. But
and story from Malcolm X.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ooh, this shit hot. Yeah, this shit hot.
As soon as he put the shit, like, I'm telling you, dog, he didn't even get eight head covered. He literally put a dab in there and just combed out the front part. And then he was like, oh, by the way, if it burns, let me know. And I was like, cool. So then he turned around to get the next scoop, and I was like, yeah, it's burning. He looked at me like, God damn, already? And instead of just going to work and figuring out how to fix it, he asked me questions and looking crazy. Well, did you scratch it? I'm steady burning. No. Oh. Well, you real tender-headed? No. I'm steady
burning. How about you? I'd be like, bitch, how about you grab that neutralizer right motherfucking now?
Nigga, I didn't know nothing about that shit, but I still went home with the fucked up head. Had to go to work with the goddamn earring, with the band-aid on the fucking hairline. That shit was the worst ever, dog. That was a horrible day to start. And I was working. Check out my job at the movie theater. Guess where I was working? With sessions. So, yeah, it was rough, man. It was rough. The next question we got is from Rick James, bitch. I'm Rick James, bitch.
Dando the pirate. Dandy
Dando the pirate. You ain't gonna let that nigga lay that down, are you?
Nah, I don't care if your name is Negro Diamonds. You're still Dando to me.
And shit. And I think we've answered this before, so this should be a pretty quick one. He says, how do you feel about beef in hip-hop? Do you think it's entertaining and good for hip-hop, or do you think it's played out? And then he asks, what's your favorite era of hip-hop? The Golden Age in the early 90s, or the Shiny Suit era, or a different one? Jeremy, why don't you take the lead on that?
As far as beef in hip-hop is good, because everybody hip-hop, you can't, if everybody being nice and shit, ain't, we can't tell who the best, so we need beef. And as far as my favorite era, I'm going to have to say the 90s. And I'm going to go with, like, late 90s. So, right after the Shiny Suit. So, I'm going to say the Shiny Suit era. Yeah. So, the Shiny Suit era was probably my favorite. Like, 97. Because, you know, it was just so much money in hip-hop. Everybody was happy. Fun music. I got a lot of good memories. That's when I was clubbing hard. And so, you know, I got a lot of good memories from there. So, you know, I'm just going to say the 90s, from 90 to motherfucking 2000, that's the best motherfucking music, you know what I'm saying, to me. Because that's just like, that was the shit to me. I can't, you know, I'm sorry. I love that shit. Classic music came out from 90 to 2000. So that decade, the whole 90s, give me the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. And that encompasses both of those eras. So, yeah, definitely. GQ?
As far as beef, to me, right now, no, because it's so petty and so stupid. Like, oh, you tweeted about me and I saw it, and I'm gonna say some verse in a song that we know you ain't gonna do nothing about. But when it's like good beef, like, you know, like over something, that's cool. As far as my favorite, I'm gonna go with Derm and say, you know, early 90s, the 90s era, because you had a lot of classics come out, like Ready to Die, Life or Death, you know, the Outkast albums, all those classic albums came out in the 90s up until 2005, you know, when Rockefeller was dominating and Kanye had the whole soul sample sound going, Dipset was hot. So I'm gonna say,
you about 02 then.
I'm gonna say 94 to 2005, best era of music.
Hey. Yeah, I'm with Jerm on the 90s. You know, 90s was dope, and it peaked out for me 97, 98 when I was working in the record store. Nigga, that was the most beautiful shit ever. God damn, it was exciting for music. And I was in Atlanta, so it was just that whole, those 2 years especially was the shit for me. As far as beef goes, you know, I don't give a fuck about beef. These niggas ain't talking about shit. It'd be nice if they went to beef on some lyrical shit. Nigga, my bars are hotter than yours. It'd be good to see that shit, but, you know, over these hoes and whatever the fuck else they're talking about, nah, fuck beef. We got a real nigga quote. This one came into my inbox. So I guess I'll read it, Jeremy. It came to me, but of course we're going to let you answer it first. This came from your boy Sinister. I don't know how the fuck he got my email. I guess he listened to the show for real because I shouted that shit out a while ago. But Sinister says, my little side bitch is down for a threesome. This is why I fuck with her because, damn, I mean, he kicked off his email like a motherfucker. This is why I fuck with her because she do the shit my main would never do. Problem is, she wants to do it with my homeboy. Whoa.
Woo!
My boy has talked about my side piece's ass here and there, and I don't blame him because she's bad. But I ain't never hit no bra with my nigga. I have... What? I have shared a chick with my female friends, but never with my nigga. The real fucked up part about it is that my nigga is married to my cousin.
God damn.
He held me down when I stepped out by not telling my cousin, or my girl about who I stepped out with. But I feel like I'm playing my cousin and set myself up for some shit by letting this go down. What do I do? Oh, and he's got an update for you, Jerm.
Oh,
he says, update. I hit mom's. She's now a side chick, and her daughter found out, but she don't even care. So she's my main chick. Mom's is the side chick, and the other chick on the, and I have this other chick on the side. I hit my boy's sister, the same boy I'm talking about, and she was weak as fuck. So
goddamn, Nick. Hey, tell me what. First of all, Sinister. Before I get to yours, I have a question for you, Sinister. What the fuck are you eating to keep up fucking all these bitches? You know what I'm saying? I need to know. Because you fucking too many girls. You must be eating tuna straight out the can like motherfucking Morris the Cat. Because ain't no motherfucker. God damn.
Oh, so wait. The dude that he's talking about, the last question he sent us was about his homeboy's sister. This is his homeboy's sister. Or his home.
Yes.
Yeah. God damn.
That's why I said Sinister. Because like he said, his the girl mama is a side chick. The daughter is the main. But he got another chick on the God damn. So, but yeah, is so no. Well, as far as I mean, you and your homeboy better be really cool because if you ain't never seen him naked, this is about to be live and direct right here, buddy. And I mean, I don't know how your dick can stay hard in a room with another hard dick in there. I'm just saying. That's a hard mother. I mean, I don't care. Even if it is, you know, you fucking her from the front and he, whatever. He got the mouth and y'all gonna lock eyes at some point.
Oh,
and that's gonna be the awkward moment that you ever experienced in your life. So just be prepared for that. It would be okay if y'all was just, you know, some random girl y'all met and y'all was gonna dog out. It'd still be awkward. But, you know, this is a chick. Nah, I would stray away from it. I'd be like, nah, you know, you can go fuck them if you want to, but we ain't gonna fuck you together. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Never. I'm sorry. I done ran trains, but no gangbang. I ain't never been like, you know, random. Nah, I couldn't do it. Sorry. And I'm a real nigga. And so real nigga, I have to bow down to this.
Oh, nigga, you just don't like being live.
Yeah,
nigga.
Man, she down for the cause. I mean, hey, I fuck her face. Ain't that what he always say? She down for the cause.
What you got to say, but, GQ?
Man, this is out of my realm, and I would like to think I was real, but I ain't never had nothing that real happen before. I defer to King Jerm on this one. I mean, that just sounds awkward. Like, I was never one for doing all that kind of stuff. Like Jerm said, I don't want to look at no other dude. Like, no. Mm. Like, that's gross.
Yeah, that's...
I ain't been in that situation. I ain't got no help for that one.
Yeah, I personally think, nigga, you just need to slow the fuck down. You got the moms, you got the daughter, you got a little side bitch, and you fucked his sister. You fucking enough, you need to let this one go. Let this freak bitch
go. Like, what are you doing? Like, what does this dude do? All he do is just fuck bitches. Like, this dude's a walking rap video.
Maybe he got one of them niggas' life and shit that they ain't using. But you just need to slow the fuck down. I'm not that nigga, man. I don't even want sex from my wife if she don't want it. Like, I'm not one of them niggas. You know how they say sometimes you just got to give in for your mate and you take one for the team. If she don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. So I take sex too seriously, I guess is the way I'm trying to say it. So for me, there's no way I'm going to be fucking a bitch with my dude. Nah, nigga. I can't even say nothing else but that. Nah. I ain't down for that shit.
Get your life right, Sinister.
Something, because shit. I mean, apparently his life is right, according to dudes. He's living the life. He's fucking everybody. He got a mom and a daughter. And this whole... fucking your boy's sister and your boy is married to your cousin. Oh, that shit is too crazy for me, man. I don't. Nah, follow Jerm's advice, man. Fuck nah. Yeah. All of us said nah. So, we wrap up the show. We rambled a bit. You know, we hitting that 2-hour mark somewhere in there. I'm gonna go ahead and introduce this, so when the music's done, we can just talk about it. The name of the song is System 2 by Dwayne Chess. And this is what Dwayne Chess had to say to us. You guys are a well-oiled machine. Thank you, Dwayne. We appreciate that. Don't agree with some of the stuff on here, but who agrees with everything? Hey, nigga. You started out good. He says, my name is Dwayne Chess from Sackman Street. I'm from the Brooklyn side of things. I've been making music since 06, but I'm now putting out stuff for the world to listen to. The song that I enclose is called The System. I don't know what sort of format you want. Well, you don't need to hear that part. But basically, this is the song. It's called System 2 by Dwayne Chess.
I believe in the peace of God. I got a system that works. That's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works. That's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes.
D town to the F town, all of us on to you. That bitch gonna fall prey, despite what she mean to you. I mean to be, I had to be. Don't fuck with me, I'm wild too. And I know where you vulnerable. Shake your head, father. Drop that motherfucking top. Can you believe this weather? Feathers in the air, pillow fighting with my hoes. These niggas gotta go, and they go what I say.
I got a system that works, and it's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and it's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes.
I got a system that works. That's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes.
Barefoot like black belts, my carpet soul. Really wanna know what's in my cup, helping out with my crop. I've been the boss of my shit, that's right, my shit. Niggas must be chocolate, cause clearly they ain't shit. Press kit, here comes the one. Already won. Maker says I'll be a boss, so I put the gun on stun. I'll run New York, have a cup of water for a nigga when you see me. Say you're wild bitch, but I'm like Bobo. Y'all can break me, niggas came to rap alone. Bitches who belong to me. I am having a hard time not letting this get to me. I'm giving you the journey. Bitches in the money, drugs in the murder. Makers on the journey. Special cause the many rapping have wits. And you can tell the niggas that my grits were my wit. Them niggas broke up, we mosh pits. Matter of fact, fuck that bitch. I
got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes. I got a system that works, and that's how it goes. I grind, and I get hoes.
I got a system that works, and that's how it goes.
All right, so in the sake of making this show short as it could possibly be at this point in the show, I don't like the song at fucking all. I think it's horrible. I didn't make it all the way through. I made it to a minute and a half. That first minute was spent listening to your same chant. I don't like it. There's nothing else I can say. That shit's horrible. And I'm not hating on you, Dwayne Chess, but you sent it in for us to listen to. You already said we don't agree on stuff. We don't agree on this song. I don't like it. Germ?
Well, not a big fan of it. It's all right, but I just don't like that he mimicked, like, he tried to sound like 2 Chainz again. I never thought that, you know, there would be a lane for more than one 2 Chainz rapper. And he's definitely, you know, it worked for him. It doesn't work for you. What's his name again?
That's Dwayne.
Dwayne. Yeah, it didn't work for you, Dwayne. So back to the drawing board. I heard some of your other stuff on YouTube. Cause I was like, maybe he don't rap like you don't rap like that on your other songs. So, you know, maybe it's trying to be funny because that's what people like, and you know, that's what's hot and that's what's selling. So maybe I'm missing the boat here, and you're trying to be, you know, funny about this song. I'm hoping that's what it is because I like some of your other stuff better than this. So this song, hell no, but some of the other stuff I heard from you that you didn't sound like, you know, 2 Chainz. I was, you know, gave it a more better shot, but this song, nah, because the it was a lot going wrong with this song, a lot.
GQ,
you know, it's all right. I hear you say you do it for the nation, and when you told me to listen to that song for the nation, first 30 seconds, I was like, I really gotta go to the bathroom right now. That song was horrible. He sounded like Brian Pumper to me. Like, that's what he sounded like he was rapping.
That's pretty bad. Brian Pumper can't rap at all.
Hell no.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. One last note before we sign off, and by the way, that's a unanimous hell no. Germ seems to have faith in you, so I'll tell you what. Next week, we're going to play another one of your songs. We'll let Germ pick it.
Yes.
We'll play another one of your songs just to be fair, and Germ will pick the song. Germ, you cannot pick a terrible song on purpose. You got to at least pick a song that you think is better than this one. Put it that way. At least let it be better than this one.
We'll
do that next week. Before we wrap it up, I just want to point this out because we talked about this for a second, and we will talk about this on the next episode. The BET Hip Hop Awards should be coming on next Tuesday, and the Cardinals and the Braves play this Friday for the final play-in spot in the playoffs. Germ, we're talking about it on Tuesday, but get ready. That's all I'm saying. Cardinals and Braves Friday for the final playoff spot. And we'll talk about this shit Tuesday. Do either of y'all have shit?
So let me ask you a question. So for the final playoff spot?
Yeah. So, you know, in baseball this year, they went with 2 wild cards. And the wild cards play a final play-in game to actually go.
So they not actually. Okay. I was like, didn't the Braves clinch a playoff spot? Because they were pouring.
They clinched a wild card spot.
So even if they lose, they could be out.
Exactly. They lose this game Friday. Whichever team loses Friday, they watching the rest of this shit like us.
Well, all I'm going to say is this, people, before I go out the door. And that ain't no damn Florida State. That's a tomahawk chop. There ain't no Seminole yell or none of that.
Nigga watched 3 games all season, and now he's putting on for his city. That's all, you know. Anyway, man, you got any shout-outs, Blue?
As always, Blue 5 to the Brush. Shout out to the Blue and White family. Nico Nicole Carter has my heart. Love you, baby. And about it, shout out to the nation.
First of all, I want to shout out Blue for just giving up all the extra free box that he could have got from just shouting out, you know, keeping the names anonymous. But since you want to put the real names out there, so all the ladies is not going to holler at GQ Blue, aka the Pocket Square King. Send them inboxes to me.
Oh shit!
You know what I'm saying? My inbox is CarteraZoo@yahoo.com. CarteraZoo@yahoo.com.
See, ladies like that when a man show that real emotion. And I probably got all kind of he's a real man. He shot his girl out. Not that I'm going to use it, but I'm just saying.
This nigga. Shout out to the Carter. The Carter's back in the house.
Save the Carter, save the Carter.
Carter's apparently saved, even though we didn't get no tweets. We didn't get, you know. Shout out to you motherfuckers, because even though you don't do the shit we ask you to do, you listen. And you know what? Hey, we got to take it how it is, man. We appreciate y'all listening. Next week will be another episode. We'll probably get GQ on here. Maybe we can get Building Block back here. Hey, we can holler at Building Block, you know, try and set some shit up for you. And that'll be episode 49. We almost at 50. We're going to do something special for 50, like nothing.
We might bring everybody back that they ever got on the guest show, drop in like they did on the Yo and TV rap show, and like, hey man, you ain't gotta stay long. Just come in and speak, say happy 50. Bam, be out the motherfucking dope. I'm gonna try to get everybody, you know. Oh. Shout out to Tracy May, seen her in Atlanta this past weekend. So what's up, Tracy? You know, so yeah.
Tracy, for all the people that were lusting after Tracy May, it might be over for you. I think it's over. I think
It might be over. I don't know. I don't know if it's over.
I think it's over. I think she's done. I think she's done, Ski.
Nah, I mean, I'm trying to get her to be the other woman, trying to be her, you know, her role as the number two. You know, I'm trying to manage two quarterbacks, but, you know.
Hey, nigga.
And she, you know, she's talking about going to another team and all that. She want to be a starter, but I'm trying to tell her, like, you know, when you're on the bench, you ain't got to worry about getting played.
Shit.
You like that one, nigga? You like that one,
nigga? Now the starter, this nigga talking about hanging up the cleats. She talking about hanging up the cleats, my nigga. So
I know. I seen that old black ass nigga.
Oh, don't do that, Joe.
I had to hate because he said some old slick shit. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, like I told Trey, he's like my little sister, so I'm going to look out for you. You hit game, you run it by me, I'll let you know if it's game before you fall for it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, niggas these days, man, I got to watch out for my sister because these niggas getting real sneaky these days. So anytime I look out for you, you know, I ain't trying to, you know, break no man law or nothing, but you know how it is, man.
God damn. That's it for episode 48. We about to go.
It's 48?
Yeah, this episode.
I thought last one was 48.
Last episode was 47.
You sure?
No.
I was like, it's gotta be 48.
I think we already did 47. So this is 48, okay. And 49 to be the next one.
Oh.
Yeah, 47 all was right. Losing episodes. Was losing recipes. Shout out to Mike.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So this is 48. 49 is next week. And we holler at you motherfuckers. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. NappyAfro.com.